All righty, everybody. Welcome to Joel Radio. How you doing out there, kids? Grown-ups?
Kids.
Kids of all ages. It's Joel Radio. Welcome in.
Don't let your kids listen to this program.
I hope not.
No.
People do listen, though. Which, you know.
Yes, kids. That's right.
Whatever. They're in the car.
Kids, grandmas, invalids, prisoners.
Welcome to Joel Radio. I'm Joel. That's Corey. We got a great show for you today. I think. There's a lot going on.
And in
not with us, personally, but with...
No, it's a dead zone for us.
We will have your full gorilla got shot coverage. Wall to wall, breaking news.
Oh, my God.
The gorilla's been shot, Corey. A gorilla's been shot.
I don't think that's an appropriate way to describe Tavon Martin.
Well, you know. Thanks a lot, everybody. That's the
good
last
night, everybody.
Great 11 years bringing you the show.
Come on. You knew that was like, no.
Well, there were lots of memes of, you know.
Well, I didn't actually see. I was expecting
Black
to see.
Black Lives Matter and all
that. I was expecting
stuff
to see more of those on my feed.
Oh, I saw a bunch.
Because I got a couple of those guys that are, you know.
Yeah, you need a real. Real Trump supporter to put up those gorilla memes.
Oh no! Well,
yeah, you need a real.
No, I meant the like. How come y'all you care about this gorilla, but not?
Okay.
You know.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
You don't care about Tavon or.
Well, I saw. Here's some Freddie of the memes Gray that I saw. One was Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
With the gorilla picture of the gorilla. Mm-hmm. One of them was an albino gorilla saying they wouldn't have shot this gorilla.
Okay.
Okay. So I saw that.
I think I saw one or two. I just thought I would see more.
Yeah. All right.
You know.
And it was like if the gorilla had a gun. No, or something like, now they're going to say the gorilla had a gun or something.
Yeah. You know, like something like that. I mean, because the largest percentage of black guys on my feet are comics.
Yes.
And some of those guys are hardcore.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see some of those memes. I see a lot of Bernie memes.
Yeah.
They finally retired the Bernie and Hillary memes.
Well, that just shows you what's...
you know, where it was like, I saw Black Flag in 1982, and then Hillary's like, I use it to kill roaches.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Those memes are done.
Well, Bernie, and speaking of done, I think Bernie's done. So
well, you know, but what if Bernie wins California, and then they're like, it's time for you to go and get out. It's
there you go. Well, here's what happens. Hillary loses the fucking election.
I know.
That's what happens. And it's kind of, you know, there's a scenario, like we were talking the other night with Steve Ayotte. Shout out to Steve, because he listens to this show.
He says,
sometimes. He says he
a
can't
fine,
finish it.
A fine comedian.
Yeah, Steve's funny, but he says he listens to the show, but can't get through the whole thing.
Right, we'll tell Steve when he can stop listening. We'll give him a cutoff point.
But anyway, so Steve, we were talking, and we're like, yeah, there's, you know, it's possible for Trump to win.
It didn't
seem possible, and now it's possible.
I mean, you know, by appearances, Mitt Romney looked in a much better position to win, and then just didn't. So you never know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know that Mitt Romney ever looked like he was going to win.
There was a point. There was a point. There was a point in the summer where Mitt Romney was ahead, and people thought, geez, it's going to happen.
Well,
and then Mitt Romney lost pretty
well. If
pretty
you
handily.
Get the, they say that you get the convention bounce, so whoever goes first gets. Ultimately takes the lead because they're on TV every night. So,
I don't even know if Trump has any money. I don't know if his campaign has any money.
I don't know.
I think he's now asking the RNC for money after butt pounding them
He's the guy.
Months.
They got to give it to him.
Because he really didn't spend money in the primary campaign because he didn't have to.
Didn't need to.
Because every news organization, every morning news, Morning Joe, Fox and Friends, everybody who want, you know, all the Sunday shows, threw their legs wide open for him.
Well,
anytime he wanted to come on, anytime he wanted to call in, and he got nothing but free coverage. So we don't even know if he's going to have the money in the general election.
I'm sure he will do fine as far as money. I don't know. I don't even know anymore. And yeah. I I care as much as I used to, which is I don't.
All right.
And here's ultimately my thing. And this is my thing. And it's sad to say this, but I think I have to say this, is I've said it doesn't really matter who the president is.
Yeah.
And this is going to be ultimately, if Trump gets elected, then that's either going to prove my point or it's going to completely disprove my point.
Well.
So my ass is on the line in this, in a sense. You know,
I think all our asses are in line if Trump gets in. Look.
So, I mean, I guess I can't get upset about Trump because I said it doesn't matter.
I understand that thinking, and I hear that thinking a lot. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I do think it matters. I don't think it matters on the day-to-day. Will your, you know, will your neighborhood start catching on fire?
Yes.
But it's going to hurt a lot. Look, we forget how bad the economy was at the end of the Bush administration.
Okay.
We forget that GM needed a bailout, that it was gas was $3.50. I mean, shit was was jacked up, and it can happen again. You know, please, this Trump. I hear people go, Mitt Romney was boring and Mormon and weird, but at the end of the day, if he had won, I wouldn't think things were going to change.
Well,
you know what I mean? I wouldn't have liked his policies, but I didn't fear. I didn't fear catastrophic.
No, I mean,
like,
when you,
you know,
when
big
you,
world
when
disasters.
You look at Cruz and Rubio and Trump.
Yeah.
Romney seems like a perfectly legitimate option.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on that side.
Well, because he was a mainstream Republican, which those guys are all, those guys got their asses handed to them this year.
Yeah.
They just, this is completely what happened after 25 years of talk radio, which has gotten more and more extreme and right wing. And then you get the Tea Party. Trump is the end result of that. Because those guys have been saying, you're not conservative enough. And then
maybe
those guys got wiped out.
Maybe they need their shot and let that blow up and we'll move on.
Well, yeah.
You know, that's maybe that's how that's got to work.
I honestly can't imagine. Anyway, Hillary's not the president.
It just seems
inevitable. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not happy about it. I certainly feel generally that it's like the movie Election. The person who really wants it the most is probably the one you should.
Well, Hillary really is that character.
Tracy Flick.
She really is Tracy Flick, isn't she?
Yeah, whenever you feel like you're entitled to the job. And Trump does to a certain extent in that he's got a boundless ego.
Well, Trump,
I don't think he imagined being president until like
Trump is
2 years
ago. Palin in that they just want to be famous.
Right.
And they know being president will make them famous, so they want to do it. But they're not really, they don't really want the job.
It wasn't a dream of his until last week or 2 months
ago. Well, Obama's into the job. So that's the thing you got to say about Obama is he's into the job.
Mm-hmm.
Trump will not be into the job at all.
No, not at all.
You know, Bush was not into the job.
I mean, Obama is a little bit too much where he's going, you know, on Bear Grylls show and all that kind of stuff, which I appreciate why I understand why he did all that stuff. But there's a point where I'm kind of like, do we need Michelle Obama on Living Single? That's not still on. Do we need her on Meet the Browns?
No, she's on everything. Yeah.
She's on everything. She's on everything. Like Chopped, you know, and it's like, and that's kind of enough with,
well,
I know that they're like, we got to have a new kind of outreach. And so they're trying all platforms, but
well, let's talk about another person who's really got.
Yeah, that's enough election.
Here's someone who we should elect. How about the Facebook mom?
Yeah.
Candace Payne,
who
we spent a bulk of last show talking about. Although I made several predictions on the last show. Made several.
Yeah, well.
And I believe.
Okay, we made predictions. Now, one, I don't know if I made my Corden prediction. I think I made that on the phone to you.
Well, yeah, because Corden had already done the thing with her.
So we've been dead nuts accurate on
that. Well, my prediction that I did. Ellen, I don't believe, has had her on yet.
I think you're right that Ellen is out for the summer.
I think Ellen may not be doing shows at this point for the rest of the year until September.
A special emergency meeting of the Ellen staff was convened.
So Ellen has not done it, but here are some of the talk show that she has done. Good Morning America.
Yeah.
She did The Late Late Show, and she also went to events at Lucasfilm Studios and Facebook headquarters. They estimate that she made that those trips and things were worth approximately $7,500. By the way, this is Money Magazine has an article.
Where is she from?
She's from Texas, Grand Prairie, Texas.
Okay, because she didn't have a real strong accent.
Oh, but Texas is like that. Sometimes North Texas isn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's some parts of the country where there's not a real strong accent, like a Midwestern-y spots. Yeah.
She said y'all in that video a few times.
Oh, did she?
Okay, she also got gifts from Kohl's. You know, Kohl's was where she said that she bought the mask. They gave her a collection of gifts, including toys. And $2,500 in gift cards for Kohl's.
Jumping fuck.
Boy.
That's a lot of Kohl's.
That's a lot of neon colored blazers for a fat lady.
That
you know,
is a lot of Kohl's material.
She also, now I did make the prediction that she would lead a Disney parade. Did I not make that prediction last time?
Okay.
I don't believe she actually led a Disney parade. I couldn't find any footage of that. But the Payne's whole family was treated to a free vacation to Disney World over Memorial Day weekend, highlighted by a visit to Disney's Hollywood Studios theme park and an up-close meet and greet with Chewbacca himself.
This could just be the fact that there isn't a Disney parade currently on the schedule.
Well, I think they do a Disney parade every day in the Magic Kingdom. Don't they do that parade?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, they estimate, Money Magazine estimates that was also worth $7,500. Okay. She also did a, let's see. Peter Mayhew invited, now he was the guy who played Chewbacca in the original Star Wars films. By the way, if you get the Blu-ray or the special edition of Force Awakens, very sad news that I didn't know, that Mayhew was essentially replaced in that movie. Mayhew can't stand anymore.
He's old.
Well, he can't stand, and so they got some Swede who's 7 feet tall. Yeah. So whenever you see Chewbacca, like, running, like, there's scenes of him sitting in the Falcon where it's Mayhew, but for the bulk of the movie, it's actually not Peter Mayhew anymore. Anyway.
Well, how old's Peter Mayhew? 70?
He's an ancient guy. And, you know, those big, giant guys, their joints,
their limbs,
stuff, yeah.
Their knees just turned to powder.
So Peter Mayhew invited her to to the Fan Expo Dallas convention with VI passes for everyone. Okay, she will be posing for selfies. The VIP passes were worth $400 a piece. And she will be posing for selfies at the convention. I guess she did this last weekend. With anyone who pays $20. And a portion of the proceeds go to the One Fellowship All In, a Christian ministry. So she made some portion of taking pictures with people.
Now, the question I have is, thankfully, that's all she's posing for.
Well, because they estimate $2,000 for that appearance.
Now that Playboy is in the peekaboo business, who is going to throw money at actresses or brief celebrities?
You can look it up. In fact, you should look it up, and not me. Mama June is touring strip clubs.
All right.
I know. You see, thanks for coming.
This is not only the last podcast. I'm done. I'm just done with everything.
Look up the Mama June. Because
I'm going to walk into the
Mama
Detroit
River. Mama June. Now, she's not naked at these things. She's just doing appearances there. But it's like Mama June and like a crew of like, look it up because it's like C-listers. I'm trying, or D-listers. You got to see who's on this strip club tour.
We did see Ron Jeremy. Did you go to that? Ron Jeremy doing stand-up.
Ron Jeremy's done stand up at the Gathering. I've seen that. So
okay, but he came and did the Magic Bag 10 years ago.
Yeah. So anyway, they estimate that at $2,000. And the other thing that break in whenever you have the Mama June strip club tour, because you can see like a flyer and it's got all the celebrities on there. It's terrible. The other thing her and her family received scholarships from Southeastern University, a Christ-centered institution of higher learning in Central Florida. Tuition and fees are about $12,000 per semester. We're rounding that to $400,000 in college scholarships. So if you add up everything she's received that we know of so far for doing that, $420,000 is what Candace Payne, the Chewbacca mom, has made for that video.
I'm not familiar with the work of Little Sassy Cassie.
Yes, but see, I said...
Well,
that's a midget porn star, right?
Oh, okay.
I think that's who that is. But who are the celebrities on the Mama June strip club tour?
She's touring with porn star Jessie Jane.
Okay.
And Little Sassy Cassie.
And is there somebody else on there? No?
That's all I have so far.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's enough.
I'm looking up Little Sassy Cassie.
Oh, please do.
And see, I'm not familiar with her work.
But, well, I'm sure she's big. I'm sure she's small. I'm sure she's big. The big
she's
person.
Big at being small. She's she is definitely a midget.
Is she naked?
Yeah, she's she's working the pole.
Yeah, I don't, you know.
Well, like there's like a picture of Mama June spanking her. Like I think
it's almost like she's Honey Boo Boo or something.
Yeah,
Little Sassy Cassie.
There's like Little Sassy Cassie's giving Mama June a lap dance.
By the way, if you can find the nearest location to the zip code 48220, that would be great. I think a road trip's in order, Corey. I think
I might have thrown up everything that was inside me if I had not. I'm glad I didn't have a big lunch. Oh, this is.
Is she playing anywhere at the toy box or anything in Dearborn?
Do you want?
Yeah,
do you want to see that? Do you want?
Oh, she's ass up.
She is ass up.
Face down, ass up.
Well, I mean, that's Little Sassy Cassie.
Little Sassy Cassie
is putting her ass.
Why does
Mama June's giant thumb shaped head?
Why does Little Sassy Cassie have to throw it in the toilet? Why does she have to ruin the beauty that is a Mama June appearance at a strip club? Why is that?
I don't know.
Why does she have to desecrate?
But she's a woman.
What could be a wonderful thing?
You know, Sassy Cassie has so much talent.
Seriously, look for tour dates then.
All right.
See if there's one in.
You know, all the things we've done in this show,
this
makes me feel gross.
Well, the toy box will do, like, they had China, who died, what, 2 months ago or something?
Yes.
They had her, like, a month before she died.
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
drugged out of her brain doing a
I remember seeing, you know, in my strip club days, which, you know, I was never a huge strip club guy, but, like, you know, you'd go and there would be touring porn actresses
that
would, like, come to the strip club.
Right.
And I you know...
I saw some, you know, feature dancer on tour once. Yeah. This was in Windsor. And she... I might have talked about this on the show, but it was a million years ago. She brought a toy car with, like, a foam dildo on the front of it. So a remote control car. And she'd put it on the stage, and she'd spread her legs. And she'd hand the remote to one of the guys in the crowd.
Okay.
And you would drive the remote control car with the dildo, and you would ram it
no!
into her. Yeah, you'd ram it into her vagina. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a remote control car as dildo.
Oh, that's...
There you go.
Well, that's a way to make a buck, I guess.
that's funny, at least.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was cool. I enjoyed that.
Wow.
And then I've seen the girls do the, you know, the lollipops. You know what you know what they do with those?
I can imagine you've seen a lot of things.
No, you get like the, it's like a blow pop. So it's got a large end on it, right? A blow pop. And, you know, the girls will take the blow pop. And if it's one of these porn stars you're like, they put it in. Actually, you know, maybe this is something I just heard about on Stern or something. But, you know, you put the blow pop inside of the woman would put the blow pop inside of her and then sell it.
Okay.
For $20 to the fans.
You know, there's.
And you could enjoy that delicious treat as you sat there and watched
the
show.
A friend of ours was saying jokingly the other day that she needed someone to take pictures of her feet.
Yes, we did hear that. We were in a public place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
by the way, mission accomplished. No, that's a joke.
Yeah. But she was just like, can somebody pay me money to take pictures of my feet?
Sure.
She was she was kidding somewhat.
She was kidding.
But if someone gave her the opportunity, I think she would have taken it.
I think she would take it. I'd buy her like a Subway.
Sure.
I don't think there's any actual... I'm not going to back up the Brinks truck to take a picture of her feet.
You might bring her a couple donuts.
But if she wants, if she wants to split a Papa Romano's pizza, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down. I'm not saying no to that.
I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show many times.
Yeah.
But I had a girl, I dated a girl that I had to get her a Tim Hortons coffee before I could take her home.
Oh, okay.
We had to stop through the Tim Hortons
drive-thru. Is that so bad?
I know, but it's just every time.
Okay, well, so what?
Yeah, I just was her thing.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
She had to get a Tim Hortons coffee.
It's not that sleazy, the Tim Hortons.
No, but it was just like, okay, we can't just... No, but this was before.
Yeah.
You had to go get the big Tim Hortons coffee.
Oh, before you could fuck her.
Yeah.
Wow, so she needed to be caffeinated to have sex with you.
I guess so.
She's going to fall asleep.
I mean, it's better than being, you know... completely blotto, but...
Did you put the cream in her coffee?
Yes.
Hey, now!
Thank you.
That's why you listen to this show. Professional comedians. Tell us what her...
Mama June and Sassy Cassie will be appearing at the Little Darlings Oklahoma City Club. I don't have a...
Either you don't have a full itinerary?
I don't have a full tour date. That's from Sassy Cassie's Facebook
page. Well, I won't be going to Oklahoma City to see show, so that's fine.
They were in Baltimore last weekend.
Oh, you were in Baltimore last weekend.
Not,
Now it all adds up.
Yeah, no, I was in Baltimore the week before that. I sadly missed that classic evening of entertainment.
They were there last weekend, but if you go to Baltimore this weekend, you can still smell them. The sniff, you can still smell little Sassy Cassie and Mama June's taint.
I'd like to see Bobby Slayton sniff that chair.
Oh, yeah, that's the best when he does that at the club. When Bobby just goes the out great and
the pit bull of comedy, the great Bobby Slayton.
I love young pussy. I love young pussy. It's the best. Ah, God, I love young pussy.
A girl would get up and go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And Bobby would run over and pick her chair up and sniff it.
It's a classic. If you do that, you're stealing from Bobby. Just know
comics. He stole that from Henny Youngman.
Young Comics. You see that?
That's a vaudeville.
I don't know. If you're at the ice cream parlor and one of the comics sniffs a chair...
That's an old
there. Bit. That's where they're
getting
it from.
I think Frank Fay did that at
did
the Tournament
I?
Century.
You sure?
Yes. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Anyone sniffing chairs at the recycling center? Is anyone over there? Anyone over there?
That's right. The kids today don't know.
They don't know how to sniff a chair.
How to sniff a girl's chair.
They have to sniff a chair.
And sexually assault a woman. Not really, but...
It's
he would literally sniff the chair.
Bobby sniffs. He still does. I saw Bobby probably.
Bobby, he still does.
I saw
if
2 years
works,
ago.
It works.
I saw Bobby 2 years ago when Bobby
the
was
chair
sniffing. He was sniffing chairs as of 2014, I think, Bobby. So, and we love Bobby Slayton.
All
right,
I'm sure that was all Bobby was sniffing. Let me tell you.
I used to let, you know what? Here's my move. Here's my move. If you, I don't know, what was that? Yeah, just, that's fine.
I was like, something fell.
Something fell. Here's what I will do. I will let girls smoke.
Uh-huh.
I will let them smoke in the car or in the bedroom.
Know, sure. Whatever.
If they're willing.
In the bedroom.
In the bedroom, yes.
Well, it's mighty big of you.
It's mighty way to meet.
There's a phrase that's gone out of style.
Let's bring that back for the Trump.
Unless it's like you rode your big wheel, your one wheel bicycle. To the artisanal pickle shop.
Oh, like the
that's
penny
mighty,
farthing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's mighty, mighty.
Yeah, yeah.
How about vote for Trump? It's mighty whitey. Yeah. There you go.
That might be
that's
his,
it.
You know what?
I
there's
told
his
you
new
I
campaign
it.
Slogan.
Mighty whitey. I did do that. Yeah, so Chewbacca Mask Lady is still raking it in. I wonder when she's on the strip club tour with Little Sassy Cassie.
I don't know.
You gonna give us a date on that?
Let's not. Okay, let's just as a society do better. Okay. All right, let's castigate the Chewbacca lady to the dustbin of history with Clara Peller.
So. Well, let's start.
And the Noid.
Clara Peller's at the toy box this weekend. If you want to go over there, she's literally in the box. She's in a box at the toy box. She's in a casket.
Some of the girls will be passing the vase around.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Where's the beef?
I can't imagine having enough sadness in my life to want to go see the Mama June club date at the club. I really can't imagine.
But is it, you think it's guys who are really into Mama June or it's guys like us who are goofing? Or
I don't,
you
know, honestly, if I went to a strip club and they're like, get this fat heifer out of here. I'm like, I came here.
Yeah.
I came here to be sad and depressing and look at naked women.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this she beast. I don't want to see this blubbering, fucking money grubbing, ill unfit mothering whore slob hillbilly thumb faced bitch. Get that? I don't
thumb faced bitch.
Yeah, I don't.
Actually, your thumb kind of looks like Mama June.
Yeah,
if you drew a face
it does.
If you look at your thumb and you think of Mama June, it's not that different.
I don't want to see, Jesus Christ. You know, when your second chin is bigger than the rest of your face, that's a problem. This is, anyway.
All right. Oh, well, let me do this. Let's change topics here for a minute. I want to tell people how they can better enjoy this show.
Turning it off.
This is how you can better enjoy...
Going to the NPR One app and listening to whatever they've got over there.
So you can better... I mean, who else is covering Chewbacca Mom, Mama June's Pussy, and the presidential election? I don't think anyone is. I think we're the only show.
Well,
I think that makes
us
unique.
Probably solid reasons.
It's probably good reasons. But no, I'm going to tell you that you could be listening to Joel Radio. I purchased this the other day. Do you know what this is?
Oh no.
You don't know what this is?
You got more tech?
I have more tech. This is a technological way
mm-hmm.
to better enjoy this show or any show.
Okay.
Well, I bought a Bluetooth speaker, which is not that uncommon. It's a pretty common sure. thing now. This particular one I bought, I will recommend to people. It's called the Oontz.
The Oontz.
The Oontz. I think it's the Oontz Angle 3. O-O-N-T-Z. Angle 3. And I think you have to buy it on Amazon. I don't even think you can go to a store and get this. But it's called the Oontz Angle 3. And this is what, 5 inches or so tall?
Is there like an unwritten rule that you have to give like all tech stupid names?
Well, that's the, I know.
The iRiver, the Oontz,
yeah,
the,
oh, believe
the
me,
Zune.
You're correct about that. But this is the Oontz. And it sounds good. Now, the thing that's great is I pair it with my Google Play Music subscription, which also now has podcasts, including Joel Radio, which you can
all right,
get now.
There you go.
And you can just listen. What's great about it is this is, it's not waterproof, but you can take this in the shower. And so I listen to Gilbert Gottfried in the shower.
Well, there you go.
And you can take it anywhere, and it's great. It's got, you know, from my, you know, from, here, if you just want to hear some, and it sounds quite good. I mean, here's a little Gilbert, if I can do this.
I understand we've been nominated for a podcast award.
Yes!
Here's a little Gilbert
what do you
right
think
there.
Of that?
Sounds
yes,
great.
Because, like
sounds
I
like
always
Gilbert.
Talk about
sounds
the
like Gilbert.
First time we did a podcast.
But, you know, the thing is like, you don't need to be tethered to the phone. You can take this anywhere. It's very rugged. Feel that. You don't have to have headphones on. And you can take that 30 feet, so I can take that outside with me. I can take that into the shower. It's got volume controls. And here's the other thing, Corey, if you can find it, there's a pause button. So you don't even have to use the phone. You can just pause. What, Corey couldn't wait to pause Gilbert.
No, I just,
but,
it's we don't want to hear Gilbert talking over
us. So if you're in the shower and you want to pause it, you can just pause it. You don't have to go to the phone. And you can pause it and restart it. And it recharges. And it's a little, I guess it's a micro USB charger. And like I said, it's waterproof. And you can make phone calls on this as well. It has a microphone. So if you want to use this as, you know, like a speakerphone, you can use this. And music sounds good on it. I'll play a little music. I'm not supposed to play music, but why not? We break all the rules here on Joel
Radio. Have you heard anybody who got in trouble for playing music on a podcast?
You know, we've been afraid of that, even to the point of, you know, the theme song is now, the theme song is public domain, yeah. But, you know, you can, you don't have to do that, so.
Well, in the old days, we played a lot of music unlicensed.
We did.
And we never heard one word.
We never heard anything about it, but.
Brother, boy,
a little Harry Nilsson for it. But this thing's got good bass. Here, hold that thing. It's thumping in your hand. Hold on to
well,
that.
How do you determine what you're selecting?
Well, I pick it on the phone.
Oh, I see.
And then when I start it, I can play and pause it. Now, some you can get Bluetooth speakers that that actually have like fast forward rewind buttons.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're a little bit bigger, and that one's real portable. So
I got you.
But it's cool. It's great. And you know, and when you use something like Google Play Music, which with podcasts, you can actually pause it and go listen to music and come back to the podcast, and it'll be right where you left off. And you can do fast forward 10 seconds or rewind 10 seconds, however much if you miss something on the show, you can very quickly go back. So it really does a great job. I mean, Google Play Music podcasts are only like a month old. It's kind of like Stitcher. I know we plug Stitcher. We're on there. So it's a lot like that if you want to stream your podcasts and not have to download them to a device every time and use up your whole phone. Now, you do have the option of actually storing them on the phone so you won't use data like when you leave your house. But you pair that with a Bluetooth speaker, and man, you're listening to. I'm listening to a lot more shows this way. It's very cool.
Well, so here's my trick.
What do you do?
I listen to podcasts in the shower.
Yeah.
I just take my phone and I put it in a plastic cup.
Oh, okay.
And it works fine.
That's okay. But I bet you that thing sounds better than your phone in a plastic
cup.
Yeah,
maybe. But for, you know, the
27
distance,
bucks.
The distance from the counter to the shower is enough to
okay.
I can hear.
Well, I think you would do well to get one of these Bluetooth speakers. And, you know,
I might.
You listen to music. You know, you go outside. I was barbecuing over the weekend and had
some
music out there.
The problem is I have a bunch of I have a bunch of plugins that are with the old iPhone pod. You know,
oh, okay.
We can still play our iPod on them.
Well, but that's fine. This is wireless though. It's Bluetooth. Yeah, it's Bluetooth.
So I might have to get a new one. Yeah,
it's standard and it's great. $27 for this Unse Angle 3, and then you can get Bluetooth speakers that'll like fill your whole house, like giant ones. But this one's portable and it's really nice, and it's very easy to listen to podcasts with, and I love it so. Yeah. I recommend that to anyone who's stream us on Google Play Music. It's great.
All right, there you go.
There you go. There's your review.
Take that with you when you see Mama June and Sassy Cassie, and you can.
I'm wondering if I can't use this to do phone calls though, even on the show, rather than hardwiring the phone. If the speaker would be good enough to just have the speaker up there because it's got a mic.
Well, we may
so
have
the
to,
guests would hear us.
We may have to test that.
All right, call Mama June. Get her. All right. Get Sassy Cassie on the phone.
Hold on.
What else was I going to say?
Why don't you call Tenny and leave a voicemail?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do that later. But I can't find Penn Jillette Show on Google Play Music. So I think you have to opt into the directory, which I did. I opted us in, so you can get Joel Radio.
Okay, well, that's part of...
I think some podcasts can't get, but...
Penn's on the Corolla Network.
Yeah, maybe those shows aren't on there, but, I have a WTF subscription on here. Some of the gaming podcasts that
I listen
to. Well,
that's the thing, though. Everybody's doing these, they're selling these now. Now, Marin puts up his shows for free on iTunes and everywhere else, but he's also got Howl subscriptions.
Yes, that's you can get the full archive on.
Right. Yeah. So if you really want to hear that show where Gallagher walks out.
Yes,
you can hear that.
Well, it's a bad trend to start charging for these fucking things. Now I get that some people do the premium subscription model, but I don't think that podcasts are so free and so available that for somebody to even say $5 a month, I think that's asking too much.
Well, if you were to have a comedy contest and you charged for it every day?
that would be along the same lines.
Yeah.
But no, I subscribe to a pro wrestling and MMA website that does premium audio, and you get three shows a week, and you get the Wrestling Observer newsletter and all that stuff.
We've gone to a collection plate economy.
Kind of, yeah.
This is what we have now is a collection plate economy. Instead of in the old days, it was someone puts up money to publish or release your album or put out your artwork or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you got to give them a cut. But then it gets through the distribution channels and people pay money for it.
Yeah.
Mad Magazine ran for 40 years without advertising. Mm-hmm. 50. Do they still not have advertising?
I don't know. But yeah, it's
because they just could live off the cover price.
Yes.
And as a satire magazine, they didn't need to have advertising. They didn't want to have advertising. But that whole model is gone and the world is all in the shit can. Oh, now we're all getting on Patreon accounts and we're all begging for money.
Well, that is.
So, how do we donate to the lunch fund?
Well, I think you can. Do I have the PayPal link on joelradio.net? Well, you can send the PayPal to joelthecomic@gmail.com if you want to contribute.
There you go. Kick in.
That's how you do it.
Kick in a couple shekels.
All right. Do you want to? I'm trying to find.
For these overly long podcasts, Steve Iott, as you drive back to the West Side.
I'm trying to find some Muhammad Ali songs, but I'm having a hard time.
You're having trouble with Muhammad. You want to hear the.
Maybe a YouTube's got Muhammad Ali.
The greatest.
Song. Is that one? Because I see that on there, but it looks like it's a spoken word album. Maybe there's a cut. Hold on a second. I'll find it. I just had it up here. I'll play that through the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad Ali. I am.
This is an incredible level of production.
Well, that's fine. Wait.
Well, there's Black Superman. That's on YouTube.
See, I think this is just a speech. You'll hear it.
Clay swings with his left. Clay swings with his right. Look at young fascists carry the fight. Listen, Keith Backens, but there's not enough room. It's a matter of time. Airplane lords the moon.
I don't have a mark on my face, and an upset son in this one, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me, Sonny. I shook up the world.
What's the name of his song on YouTube?
Well, go look for Cassius Clay, Stand By Me.
Okay. Maybe that's what I should search for in Google Play, but I didn't. Cassius Clay. Stand By Me.
1963.
All right. Hold on a second. I'll pull this up here. Here we go. It's good so far. This is like a vinyl record that somebody's playing, if you see the YouTube. Mm-hmm. All right, it's okay. And the land is dark. I was watching a show. He did a Broadway play, and they had a performance on Ed Sullivan of him singing. No, I won't
be afraid. No, you can tell it's him, too.
It's not bad. It's not great singing, but it's, you know, it's not completely embarrassing. Let me find something else. Okay.
There you go again.
Same fucking thing again.
There he is singing. That was 63, so he'd won the Olympics. He was early in his career.
Okay, so he was won the gold trying medal.
That's before he beat Sonny Liston.
What about Black Superman? Is that worth listening to?
Let's pop that one up there. See how that goes.
All right, let's hear this. This is better already.
Yes, here's the story of Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He knows how to talk and he knows how to fight, and all the contenders were beat out of sight. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Muhammad. The guy, catch me if you can. Now,
so I remember this. No. See, I remember like a butterfly sting like a bee. Maybe is this it here? Maybe this is it. I think I remember this from being a kid. No, this doesn't. Back in the 60s came a new type of fighter. This is like a song poem or something. Yeah. Ali died when he heard this song.
It's not great, I'll tell you that much.
Let's try this. This is a.
Hip hop mix. I'm gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He thinks he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm nice as nice, and I wanna stick to his
butt. I don't know, that's not doing much for me either.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know.
I thought I remember like a 70s, like a song that like kind of exploited.
He put on an album that was like Muhammad Ali versus Tooth Decay. I'm not kidding about that.
No, I'm sure there was.
You know, but yeah, it was probably him just going, children, brush your teeth.
Yeah. But. I'm really the age, and you are too.
You should be cool. Don't be uncouth. Yeah. Get some toothpaste and brush your tooth.
Because all I'm seeing is the black Superman song over and over. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh well. I'm trying. I guess I should have.
He
prepared
also did
this.
A movie. He starred in the movie of his own life.
Yes, he did.
Called The Greatest.
Yeah.
You know, so the man did a lot of things. He fought Superman in the comic books.
Right. I was reading an article about that. I remember when that comic came out. It was
that comic was kind of around like we grew up a little too young. We're a little too young for the peak. You know,
his peak was like the late 60s, which was where
He's like 73, 72.
Yeah.
And his peak.
He broke in the late, exactly.
But then he was his championship run in the 70s. We were a little too young for. So I remember the very tail end of Ali when he was a shadow of himself. Mm-hmm. But we lived in the world of, you know.
Yes.
I had a friend who had the Ali doll.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Well, he was, you know, he was also considered at the time. And not considered, I mean, he was the highest paid athlete of all time.
Right.
At one point in his career, you know. Probably by the time he retired, and it was like, well, no one will ever make that much money. And, of course, lots of people have. But, I mean, just an incredible. I mean, as a pop culture figure, I'm not sure anyone ever was bigger than him.
No, as far as
an athlete. Is there a bigger athlete in pop culture
than
Ali?
Because back then, being the heavyweight champion was the most, probably the most prominent sports title you could have.
Yes.
Because it was international. Everyone knew who you were.
And there was only one. There wasn't like today where there's 75 heavyweight champions.
Right.
You know, or you know, in the 80s. Well,
the belts are all split up, yeah.
But, you know, there's not an IBF and a WBC and a this and a that and the other thing. WBO.
You can find the entire album, Ali and His Gang Fight Mr. Tooth Decay, is on YouTube.
So I couldn't find it. But
if you really
want to
find that, that's on there.
But Ali was a huge figure, so you can't underestimate his death and what it means to people. Now, some people go like, you know, the Vietnam, you know, the Vietnam thing, or the draft. He didn't want to go in the draft. He was a conscientious objector. You know, went to prison, all that stuff. But I think I look at Ali as more of like a great personality, a guy who was one of the great shit talking athletes of all time.
Yeah, well,
that
whole world, that's all him.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about, you know, professional wrestling, boxing, or any of these athletes and what they do, I mean, Ali was really the best at that. And Ali says, you know, he gives a lot of credit to professional wrestling for his shtick, which is funny because all the professional wrestlers did Ali's shtick ultimately.
Well, you know, it goes back to the guy who invented the modern culture as we know it was Gorgeous George.
Yeah.
And I don't know who he stole it from.
Well, Gorgeous George, and then
Buddy Rogers.
Well, Ali said, he claims, like, he gave a speech once where he said, you know, I was having a fight or something. I forget which fight it was, but, and the night before he went to a wrestling match and he saw Gorgeous George, and he heard Gorgeous George on the microphone talking about how he was the greatest and blah, blah, blah. And that Gorgeous George, you know, was his inspiration.
All that I'm pretty and all that stuff.
But then later people said that, you know, Fred Blassie took a lot of credit for Ali because Classy Freddie Blassie. And what happened was a wrestling historian went back and they looked at, you know, what day was Ali fighting and what match did he see? Did he really go see Gorgeous George? Turns out the match was Gorgeous George versus Freddie Blassie. So very well might have been that Ali was actually doing Freddie Blassie, but thinking it was Gorgeous George.
Was Freddie Blassie's shtick, it was a little different, wasn't it?
He was mean, but that was but Ali, you know, Ali did all that stuff too. I mean, Freddie Blassie was known for the pencil neck geek and
so kind of a
talking about what he would do because Ali would
kind
do
of a hybrid
pretty,
of both.
But Ali would also do I'm gonna beat you. You know, he would always do those
Gorgeous
threats.
Gorgeous George was very boastful.
Yes,
whereas Freddie Blassie was more like shit talking.
Yeah, more intimidation sort of touch and talk.
Perhaps a hybrid of stuff.
And when they did, when Ali was doing all the pro wrestling stuff that he did in the 70s with like when he did the Antonio Inoki fight and stuff in Japan, Fred Blassie, they put with him to be his manager, quote unquote. So he was also, you know, they wanted a wrestler there to be in all the photos with him. And Fred Blassie was the guy that did all that with him. So if you ever see any of those clips, you ever see Gorilla Monsoon, WWE did a montage last night on Raw.
Yeah.
And they had Gorilla Monsoon picking him up and putting him in an airplane spin.
Didn't Ali come out and ref one of the WrestleManias?
Well, he was scheduled to be the referee of WrestleMania 1, which was Hogan and Mr. T against Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper. And what happened was Ali showed up and he was already too far gone from the Parkinson's. So they made him an outside the ring referee. So basically, I think he punched Cowboy Bob Orton in the face during that. Go. That was his big spot. But Pat Patterson was the guy that actually ref the match. Although I think Ali jumped in and like did the fall.
Went and took a bump.
And did the... Well, I think he jumped in and actually counted the count. But Pat Patterson ended up being the ref. But Ali was there in Madison Square Garden and got a huge reception in 85 for that. So Ali had a lot of, you know, a lot of... You know, he had his fingers in everything. He was in every, you know.
I bet he did.
I mean, he had his, well, that if you see that, by the way, that fucking Michael Mann movie that Will Smith did was such a piece of garbage. And it's so disrespectful to Ali. It just did not capture at all what he really was like. And it's too bad. Maybe someone needs to make another movie.
What's kind of and maybe this is a lesson to everybody. Go get Parkinson's or die early. Because Ali was not universally loved.
In his day, yes, he was controversial.
He was highly controversial.
Yes.
He upset mainstream white America
profoundly.
There were all the conservatives hated his guts. He was like the Kanye of his day.
Except
with talent.
That's not a bad.
And now all of that's gone. It's all universal acclaim for him, and all the controversies.
I think part of it was
ultimately
that,
because no one is nostalgic. No one's nostalgic for Vietnam as a good decision.
No, and he now was on the right side of history, where at the time he was not.
Right.
But the other thing is, if you watch HBO did a great documentary about Ali Frazier one, and there's a lot of good Ali documentaries. The When We Were Kings
was
really good.
When We Were Kings is excellent,
And there's a good one about Rumble in the Jungle, I think, that HBO did as well. But if you see the Ali Frazier one, which was not a fight that a lot of people remember.
The first Ali Frazier?
Were the one that Frazier won.
In Madison Square Garden.
Because... Yeah. I think because it was in black and white, and there's not the footage of it isn't as good, right?
There's footage of it in color.
The Ali Frazier one is in color?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the one where he gets knocked out, he's wearing red trunks.
Okay, maybe there is.
Yeah,
but,
it was what, 70,
but I remember the
71?
Documentary. I seem to remember it in black and white. Maybe there was the news footage and stuff. But
But
you know, that was Joe Frazier was fighting for the white people. You know.
Right.
Joe Frazier was like, I'm going to knock this guy out and make Whitey happy.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
and
Ali,
so was George Foreman a couple years
later. And then Ali was running around calling, you know, Joe Frazier a gorilla and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of really awful race baiting stuff that Ali did, which no one holds against him, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all of it, he's now this like saintly,
this
saintly Santa Claus figure,
which
the guy was the most brash, brazen, shit talkiest. But. You know, he only lost like 56 professional fights, lost 5.
Yeah,
and 3 of those were at the end of his career.
Well, they showed him in the Michael Mann movie cheating on his wife. I mean, that was something that you know.
They showed
his one flaw.
I'm gonna break a little fucking secret to the rest of the world.
Yeah,
can we forever and ever put this away?
Yeah,
powerful, successful men.
Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know nudnik schmucks who cheat on their wives.
Yeah.
Who have no success.
Exactly.
If you're a man like Muhammad Ali or you're John Kennedy or you're this, you know what I mean? When you're a powerful, charismatic, successful, wealthy man,
you're
going to put your dick anywhere it's going to go. And I want women to get fucking real about this. Get your fucking heads around this. Wrap your tiny little fucking heads around this, women.
If you want.
Your pussy isn't magic.
If you want a man to be true to you, marry a podcaster.
Paul Newman is the only guy I know.
Oh, Paul Newman. Paul Newman's a great guy.
Paul Newman's the only... I'm just saying. Paul Newman's the only movie star I ever heard of that kept his dick in one spot.
Paul Newman was married for a long time, but it doesn't mean that Paul Newman wasn't fucking
No, he fucked before he got Joanne Woodward, but I mean, that's the one marriage I've never heard any whispers about.
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm saying? All this nonsense that we hold celebrities to this account. Which is nonsense.
It is. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Rock stars, all those guys are getting laid.
I believe in the premise of monogamy because I don't have any other options.
Yes.
But if you're Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King, get fucking real. Famous guys sling that dick.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Right.
And you know why they're famous? Because they want to sling that dick.
Okay.
That's how they got famous. They have testosterone and they have energy and they have ambition and they have talent
and
charisma.
Again, that's a part of the totem
for getting pussy.
That's part of the legend that is sort of glossed over.
But you know, can we get over it? Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich was getting pussy.
All right.
That's the least fuckable person since Mama June.
Somebody.
No, who wants to fuck that?
Little Sassy Cassie.
Yeah, exactly. Sassy Cassie would probably sling one.
I heard Little Sassy Cassie is going to rub up and down on Rubio because they're the same size.
Oh, God.
It'll be a perfect match.
Rubio, marginally more fuckable than Ted Cruz. That guy.
Rubio was gay, though, right? I mean, it's pretty well known that Rubio, at least,
well, you know,
he partied with gay guys. He lived with gay guys.
Are we generally surprised when Republicans in Washington are gay?
Okay. The story on Rubio was, like, Rubio was arrested for, like he was hanging out at a park, like, trespassing, or I forget what it was.
Yeah.
You know, vagrancy, something like that. And the gossip pages all said that he was either there to, like, buy drugs,
mm-hmm.
or he was, like, doing, like, a gay hookup at the park. Mm-hmm. And they arrested him. And he said he was arrested for public intoxication or something.
Shit.
Some ridiculous
shit.
So, shit, exactly.
Anyway,
but Rubio's got something.
We're surprised that Ali... Look, now, Bill Cosby is disturbing.
Well, Bill Cosby, perfect.
Now, that's disturbing.
Well,
and sad. That's
sure.
sad because
right.
Bill Cosby... If the story had been... All these models came out and went, Bill Cosby fucked me in the 70s.
Yeah.
It would not be a story.
You'd be like, so
it's that Bill Cosby took that
Knocked
extra step
out, yeah.
and drugged them.
Right.
Which was unnecessary
and
completely
yeah.
stupid.
He could have banged him sober.
Right.
Didn't want to.
Right.
That is a scumbag, though, isn't it?
It's
a scumbag. I mean, you can fuck. Yeah. Like,
I'm of the personal opinion, and this won't be popular,
right,
that 85% of those women went up to Bill Cosby's room knowing they were going to fuck him.
Absolutely. Well, that's the Mike Tyson thing, too. I mean, again, I'm not trying to defend Mike Tyson, but a girl went to Mike Tyson's room, and Mike Tyson was, a crazy beast of a man at that point.
Right.
And did whatever she didn't like, and the next thing you know, Mike's in jail.
Now,
and I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying Mike didn't do anything
and
wrong.
I'm not trying to,
but
I'm not trying to slut shame anybody.
Not
or
at all.
Horse
not
shame.
At all.
I just know that that was a consensual move up until the point where
exactly.
Bill Cosby put
right.
something in their drink.
Yes,
and then it became a non-consensual.
Yeah,
move.
Bill Cosby is a fucking turd.
He wasn't like walking around drugging people like
right.
like mysteriously.
Right,
but he did a thing that he didn't need to do.
Yes.
Which was, that's insane.
Yes.
That's
well,
crazy.
Right. And if a girl willingly hits the pipe or something
yeah.
with you, that's a different story.
Right.
You know? I mean, shit.
But I don't think any of those women, I don't think Cosby drugged them, put them in the back of his truck.
No.
And kidnapped them.
No.
They came up to the hotel knowing they were
Absolutely.
About to suck Bill Cosby's
yeah.
dick.
Then,
and then.
And out. Then Bill did whatever Bill was going to do.
It's awful. It's an awful thing.
He pulled out the pudding pop and off he went.
There you go.
But that's what he's accused of, right?
What?
The girls were asleep, and he, like, either he fondled them and masturbated, I believe, is what Bill's being accused of.
Well, when a girl's asleep, it's harder to work with that. I mean, there's a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
You need some compliance? Is that?
Yeah. I mean,
all right. Now, this sounds terrible, just for the record here.
But I'm just saying, you got to
throw saying what
her
Bill
around.
Did. No. We don't have to do any of that. You're saying.
I mean, if it's little sassy,
again,
if it's little sassy Cassie, drug her, and you're all, it's all good to go because she weighs. You know, 60 pounds, you can throw that around.
But Mama June on an Ambien
yeah,
is not like...
That's... Nothing's going to happen.
Sticking
you know,
your dick in the Grand Canyon.
Stick her dick in your armpit,
yeah, well,
and that's about all you can
okay.
do with that.
All right. Thank you. We just want to apologize to everyone.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Listen.
It's comedy.
Listen, when this yeah. show pops up, when I'm running for president...
Yeah, I know.
I'm making an apology right now.
We're announcing today... We're putting,
to my future self.
We're putting the archives behind the paywall.
Oh, please do.
I think we should do that.
Well, not only did the greatest fighter of all time die since we last talked.
Yes.
The worst fighter
and
of
Muhammad
all time died.
And Muhammad Ali died.
Yeah. Kimbo Slice died.
Yeah.
Who was a guy who was known as a street fighting legend who had a bunch of YouTube videos of him fighting guys in backyards
yeah.
and places like that. Eventually made the move into mixed martial arts. Beat a bunch of nobodies on various shows, usually on CBS or on Showtime.
Was he on Bellator?
Well, he was most recently on Bellator. I'll get to that. But he started out with like Elite XC. And
oh,
then
Elite
was,
X. That was the CBS one.
Then he did
one.
Showtime, Strike Force for Showtime. Eventually made his way to the UFC. Did not fare well in the UFC. Lost almost all of his fights there.
Yeah.
I think he might have won one. But he lost most of his UFC fights. Got cut. Became a boxer for a while. Won all his boxing matches, but people didn't seem to like him boxing. They wanted him doing MMA. So he came back and did some fights. But he did a fight. The last fight he did, which was in the spring of this year, February, March. If you've never seen this, I want everyone, I'm serious,
mm-hmm.
turn this show off and watch this. This how good this is. It's actually not good. It's the one. It's considered one of the worst MMA fights of all time. But it's Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000.
Okay.
D-A-D-A 5000. this fucking fight, Corey.
There's going to be a lot of linking.
There's going to be a lot of linkage on here, absolutely. But you have to watch this fight. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or something. It was a Bellator fight. This fight, these guys were, you know, two giant guys. Dada 5000, I guess, was Kimbo's. There's a backstory in that he was his bodyguard or something when Dada was a really famous street fighter. I mean, when Kimbo was a famous street fighter, Dada was the bodyguard. And they kind of, Dada kind of looks like Kimbo. He's kind of a younger version of Kimbo. But these guys were in such bad shape.
Yeah.
I think that this fight went all three rounds. Spoiler. Spoilers, all three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a point, I think by like the middle of the second round, Corey, you could have walked in with your hand behind, one hand tied behind your back, and with your open palm, beat the shit out of both guys simultaneously. These guys are so gassed. It looks like two infants rolling around. Or like two puppy dogs playing. It's like the worst. It's the worst fight you'll ever see. It's two guys who can't breathe. Okay, just trying with no wind whatsoever, just rolling around on top of each other.
I'm
so
looking
bad
at the video now. Yeah,
it's so fucking awful.
They cut in hippos sleeping in the zoo.
There you go. That's exactly what it looks like. And Kimbo, it's so bad. And then Dada, I guess he had to lose weight because you have to be under 265 to fight
that's
as a heavyweight.
Right.
So he had to cut weight. And I guess he got so dehydrated, he ended up like he had his heart shut down and was in the hospital for weeks after the fight. He claims his heart stopped three times. Meanwhile, the fight continued. This was in Texas where they held it. The commission was completely out of their minds to let this fight happen. And then Kimbo tested positive for steroids afterwards. Mm-hmm. So he was on the gas, you know. And it's the worst piece of shit ever. And now Kimbo's dead.
Well,
and that was just a few months ago. Now, the other story is that, you know, a week ago, while Kimbo was still alive, Dada put out a story that he believes that Kimbo's, this is great, he believes that Kimbo's corner put poison in Dada's water to make Dada.
They gave him they slipped him a Cosby?
It's a Cosby, yes. Apparently.
They dropped a Cosby on him.
Apparently, Kimbo was fondling him and jerking off during the fight. Actually, that would have been more damage to Dada had Kimbo done that. Kimbo won the fight, by the way.
I feel bad for Dave and Buster's for having an ad.
Oh God!
On the cage.
Oh God! It was the
and
worst.
And Miller Lite.
Well, that's what Bellator is. Bellator is very kind of sleazy because you know they want TV ratings, and Kimbo's always done very, very well on television. Like people watch him. People who aren't MMA fans. Or
Dada 5000's got this weird like mohawk. It's like a red mohawk, but it's got lines kind of. It looks like a basketball kind of. It's like a weird, like, the pattern of it.
Dada looks like this, like bright orange, like red. Bad Dudes or one of those games, right?
Yeah, Streets it looks
of
like Rage. It looks like an 80s yeah. video game
yeah,
villain.
An 80s video game
yeah,
villain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really, really a terrible fight. It's one of the worst
All
fights
right, now,
ever.
Now, granted, I believe if one of these punches connected with you, you'd drop right like a stone.
What round are you in?
I'm in the last round three.
Those guys are playing fucking patty.
They're
cake.
Very gassed.
I would have beat both of their fucking asses.
Well, okay, but like why?
I'm sure I would have fought right, both right. of them and beat their ass. I'm not saying
Big John, the ref here.
Yes, Big John McCarthy.
Big John McCarthy. If this was a legitimate sport in boxing, if a guy was like flopping around like
right.
this, they would have called
stop the fight. Yeah, but know? Who wins? They're both complete. I think that's the problem with
like,
McCarthy.
Like Dada kind of falls down almost as if. He was just tired.
Yes, exactly. That's the point.
It's kind of like...
That's the point. It's the worst fight because they didn't, like, beat each other's asses to get tired. They, like, swung and missed to the point where they couldn't even continue.
Yeah, Kimbo throws a punch. I don't know if it connected. It looks like Dada just kind of fell
just, like, the wind knocked him down. It's terrible.
Well...
You could have taken one of those throw pillows over there, Corey, and knocked the fuck out of those guys.
Well, you know, I was just listening to Adam Carolla, who used to teach boxing,
sure.
Talking about the Phantom Punch.
Yes.
And he said, well, here's the thing. A lot of times it's just the angle that you catch a guy on.
Yeah.
In boxing, guys will go down on punches that don't look that big.
Yes.
Because we're used to thinking like Rocky.
It's a movie
that
punch.
It's this
yeah.
giant movie punch.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, Ali connected with
yeah.
him and hit him.
Yeah.
It's just that it didn't look spectacular.
Yeah.
And so people were like, oh, it was.
It doesn't look like what you think it's going to look like.
No, and a lot of times you'll see, and I watch a lot of boxing, and a lot of times you'll see that like a guy will get hit with a jab,
yeah.
and that'll stun him.
Yes.
And then he might get hit with a follow-through on the way down, but he was already
Well, there's
out.
Also guys, I think the Dada, not to give Dada any credit at all,
yeah.
but, or maybe you're trying to dodge the punch, and so you try to lean out and you just fall over because you're mm-hmm. that tired, so. But yeah, Kimbo dead. We're not sure why, but it's very weird.
Do we really need to know?
Of course, he's 42. Yeah. That's like are you 42?
I'm not yet.
But it's like, you know, he's younger than me.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing probably is that in 1964 we didn't have HD.
Oh, to see the Dolly Phantom Punch.
You can clearly see he hits him. He hits him with this quick right hook.
Well, but I think in that fight they were saying, you know, Sonny Liston owed a bunch of money to the mob and all kinds of shit like that. So I don't know. But
well, it's like Liston's kind of he throws a punch, misses. Ali hooks.
But didn't Liston only? Isn't that like Liston's only loss though?
Might have been.
Yeah, like Sonny Liston, like had this great record, and it was like, there's no way this Ali guy's going to beat him.
And he was kind of broken after.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and Sonny Liston never really recovered, so.
You know, what are you going
to
do?
All right, so anyway, Kimbo dead. I think there's going to be more to this story, so we'll keep you posted. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, 42-year-old guys don't just drop dead.
I feel it was leukemia, and he had a long, painful battle. I mean, come on, you know, like.
Well, I mean, either he. Okay, there are 40-year-old like professional wrestlers because of the steroid use and stuff, where like the heart valve goes. Eddie Guerrero was like that, and like Road Warrior Hawk and those guys, they were probably around that age. You know, and then there's suicide. There's a lot of suicides of those guys, but you know, no one's reporting that. You know, could have been a drug overdose. I think that's probably what you're hinting at, right? Are you thinking his heart exploded from steroids?
I mean, pick your poison.
Well, I you know, some guys OD.
No offense
guys,
to Dada and his theory that he was drugged.
Dada's poison.
Yeah. That, you know, it was, you know what it was? It was like the dart that that Scorpion had. There's like poison on the end of it. Get over here. You know, he poisoned him. Or like Great Muta, he spit some green mist in his face.
But I'll tell you, that fight is so fucking bad. And I swear to God, if Dada had died, I would say, well, then you got to get rid of Bellator. Because those guys should not be putting on fights.
Well,
if they're doing that, and now Kimbo's
dead. Kimbo Slice
is
kind of a throwback to. Now, I was an early, oddly enough, I was an early UFC watcher.
Yes,
I watched the first 10 or 12 UFCs. Like, people came into it when it became like a more like a sport.
Yes.
I was watching the early stunt jokey.
Well, you were watching like when they were only on pay per view; they weren't on television.
Yeah,
and you saw like Tank Abbott
and the
Cabbage
early,
Corriera
days,
and those big fat guys.
Yeah, the early days it would be like there'd be Karate Man versus you know Hillbilly Honky.
Well,
and some guy
and
in
there
like
were guys,
overalls would come out,
and there were guys that were bar fighters like Tank Abbott and some of these guys.
And Tank Abbott was real popular early on because he was a big, thick dude who wouldn't go down. And he would just kind of throw big, beefy haymakers and once in a while hit somebody.
Yeah.
But
and he won a few fights. And
then Hoist Gracie came in and did jiu-jitsu and threw everybody for a loop. He had actual technique.
And you know Tank Abbott's bisexual?
Well.
That came out later.
Oh.
That was interesting. Interesting.
Just thank you for destroying our heroes.
He's still alive.
Yeah.
Tank Abbott.
But. Tank Abbott looks like what Mama June's husband should look like. Just a tub of magoo, you know, just a big tub of maguts. Just
so
a big slob.
Kimbo, the Kimbo Ali match will be held in heaven.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Or Slice will try to get into heaven and Ali will knock him out. I think Ali at the end could have beaten both Kimbo and
Dada. Sure.
I think that and the Parkinson's ridden Ali.
Well, I'm thinking if you took one good shot from Larry Holmes,
now?
It was better than what. No, yeah, now. But I'm just
even
saying.
Now?
In 1979, 80, whatever it was, one good shot from Larry Holmes was probably better than one good shot from Dada 500.
Well, you know, Kimbo hit hard. I mean, Kimbo knocked those guys out if you watch those street fights. But, I mean, not a great fighter at all.
So. Well.
Kind of a, you know, he's one of those novelty attractions that, you know, people are fascinated with for kind of no good reason.
Speaking
of
which, Brock Lesnar's going back to UFC.
Brock Lesnar's going back, yeah. And it's funny because he's still got a WWE contract. But he's going to fight, what's the name of the guy he's going to fight? Mark Hunt, who's a big New Zealand Kiwi.
Brother of Mike.
He's
thank you. I had to do it.
Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
Who's a big, what do you call those guys from New Zealand? He's a big Maori motherfucker.
The Maori?
He's a big Maori motherfucker who's like a K-1 champion.
Yeah.
And Mark Hunt can lose, but he hits really hard, and he might knock Brock Lesnar's block off. But
now we're back to UFC chat.
I know. Well, let's wrap this up. But yeah, that's going to happen in August. So that's going to happen in July, actually. UFC 200. So.
What about Chewbacca Lady versus Mama June in UFC? Can we have that fight?
Well, if
maybe Mama June's a little bit out of her weight class, she's like a super heavyweight. What if we had Chewbacca lady versus Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that. Well, we're going to talk about Melissa McCarthy. You want to talk about Melissa McCarthy
now?
Yeah,
it's a little setup there.
All right, cool. I went to the drive-in over the weekend.
Oh, goodness.
Over the Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. And saw a double feature.
Did you see any of the movie?
I saw all the movie.
All right.
Saw the whole movie.
Okay.
Believe me, I wish I hadn't, but I saw the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I saw Neighbors 2.
Oh, God.
The sequel to Neighbors, which is with Seth Rogen.
And you didn't see Neighbors, so you were very confused.
You're right in that.
You didn't know about the plot.
You're right in that. I didn't see Neighbors.
Yeah.
So I was a little bit, you know, like, okay, you know, I told Heather, who was with me, Heather, who you know from the show. She was in town for a couple weeks, so we went over there. And I said, well, bring me up to speed on Neighbors, and she did, and it was fine. Also, by the way, Nick Stoller, my director from 5 Year Engagement, this was his his joint. He made Neighbors and Neighbors 2. And you know what? It's every generic Seth Rogen pot joke kind of comedy. It was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I actually laughed a few times at Neighbors 2. It wasn't, like, awful or anything. I did see Beanie Feldstein in Neighbors 2.
There you go.
We talked about her on the last show.
Beanie Feldstein.
Corey goes, who was this on the last show? If you didn't hear that, Corey goes, check out Beanie Feldstein. And he shows me this glamorous headshot of this actress.
I know, and then you see her in the movie.
Beanie Feldstein. And I said, who's that? And he goes, it's Jonah Hill's sister. I go, oh, she's kind of hot. I'd hit that. So then I go see the movie.
Yeah,
okay.
She looks like,
looks like
a female Jonah Hill.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's Chloe Grace Moretz, who is apparently some hot, you know, I've seen her, you know, she was a kid actress, and now she's this hot teenager. But
she played Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass movies.
And you know, she's all right. But yeah, Beanie Feldstein looks and acts exactly like Jonah Hill.
Yeah, it's like a girl
if you
Jonah
didn't
Hill.
Know it was Jonah Hill's sister, you would go, why is that girl acting like Jonah Hill?
Well,
she's the fat, dumb friend to Chloe Moretz in this movie. And, you know, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her, but looks nothing like those headshots, you know.
No, that was like a like an Instagram selfie that was taken from outer space.
And that's fine. Yeah. So here's the thing about Beanie
I believe
Feldstein.
The Apollo 13 crew.
As much as I wanted to fuck her, as much as I was going on about I totally hit that, all that stuff, turns out she's fat, she looks like Jonah Hill, but here's the point. I'd still fuck her.
There you go.
So there you go.
Keeping it real.
Joel Radio. We fuck fat girls.
Well.
That's the new slug. Right under the title. It'll say.
Oh, my.
But no, Beanie Feldstein was fine in this, and then the movie was okay. But the double feature, it was a double shot of comedy, Corey, a double shot of wacky comedies, because it was Neighbors 2 followed by The Boss, starring Melissa McCarthy.
Well, that's the thing about going to the drive-in.
Yeah.
Is that you will generally end up seeing two.
Yeah, well, you pay for two.
But you could sit there all night and watch whatever you want.
Right,
really.
Because, you could drive from one screen to the other screen. And didn't you guys go to the drive-in recently? You told that story.
We went last year.
Last year,
saw Mad Max.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing limited is that it's during the summer.
Yeah.
So if you went in the winter and the sun went down at like 7 o'clock, you could get like four in.
And they do show those. You know, they show. So the first movie's on about, 9:15, 9:30.
Yeah.
And then the second movie starts around 11:30. And then they showed the first movie again at like 2 a.m.
So they loop.
So so then you could sit there. So if you wanted to see the double feature starting at 11:30, now I don't know who's there at 2 a.m. watching that movie, but fuck. I mean.
Well, you know, what's great is that if you go to the concession stand, you can just kind of look and see what everything's like.
Yeah, and you can
turn around to 360
and drive
and see all the ones.
We used to do that all the time, and we almost did it this time because I go, The Boss got the worst reviews. You know, Heather's a big fan of Melissa McCarthy. She loved, Bridesmaids, and she thought Spy was funny, and Spy was funny. Yeah. To her credit, Spy that came out last summer was a pretty good movie. And I said, well, let's go see Captain America. I haven't seen that yet. And then we looked, and Captain America was like 55 minutes longer than The Boss,
right.
Which means if that starts at 11:30, it's like you're getting getting out of the theater at like 1:55 or something, and it's like, and then we're in Dearborn, so you're 30 minutes from home, so it's
sure.
So we stuck through and we like Neighbors, and then we saw The Boss, and God damn it, this is a piece of shit, and we all knew this was a piece of shit, and it's not a surprise to anybody. But one thing about it is the tone of this fucking movie. It's first of all, you could have made a PG-13. Comedy that would like appeal to like teenage girls almost, because it's basically this woman is kind of like Martha Stewart, she's kind of Oprah, and she ends up going to jail for like insider trading, sort of like Martha Stewart, and she gets out and she can't do business successfully, but her assistant, when she was popular, like her daughter has a Girl Scout troop, so she ends up sleeping on the couch of her former assistant when she's down in luck, and that's Kristen Bell, And Kristen Bell's daughter is like a Girl Scout. It's
Huntington
not really
Woods own.
Yeah, Kristen Bell.
Annie Kristen Bell.
Yes. So Kristen Bell, you know, her daughter's like a Girl Scout. So then she decides she's going to hustle like brownies for her Girl Scout trip. That's kind of the story, okay? But you could have made this like a very nice, heartwarming kind of redemption story. But instead they made like a hard R comedy where like Melissa, at one point Melissa McCarthy is like fist fighting the other like Girl Scout moms. And then there's like a street brawl where all the Girl Scouts are like beating each other's asses. And it's like really weird tonally. And it just is not funny at all. It's just her character is unlikable. The jokes don't work. I mean, and it's all people you like. Like Peter Dinklage is kind of the main, what do you call him? He's the main fodder, you know, the villain in, mm-hmm. in this.
The heavy, but the heavy, ironically, not that heavy.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's pine sized. That
sure,
Peter
sure.
Dinklage. But, you know.
Did he and Sassy Cassie?
I don't know that. I've never heard of that. But
Peter Dinklage wouldn't touch a midget. I think Peter Dinklage now that he's famous. He's only fucking full-size women.
Full-size women.
Yeah. Yes. He's only getting, like, you know, I mean, maybe Natalie Portman-sized. But, I mean, he's
okay.
Not,
Kristen
you know,
Bell-sized.
Sure, sure.
5'2".
Petite. Yeah. But they're giants to him.
But Peter Dinklage
you
can't
know,
save
show
this.
Is
this is a
like,
weird
the second
show.
We mentioned a midget,
show.
It was all
it's
over.
We'll
it was all over.
Just want to apologize for this odd
sure,
show.
Whatever.
Apologize, sure, whatever. But The Boss is one of the worst movies of the year. It was written. The movie's directed by Ben Falcone.
Her husband,
who you'll see, he's in a lot of these movies for two seconds. You'll recognize him. He was in some Target commercials.
Yeah, he's always...
You'll recognize Ben Falcone.
He's got cameos. Sure.
But he directed this movie. He's a funny actor, I guess. But, you know, they co-wrote it with some other guy. So, you know, their stink is all over it. Like, they wrote it, they directed it, and it's a piece of shit. Because it's trying to do, you know, whatever Paul Feig, whatever his magic is with her, that, you know, he did Spy and Bridesmaids and stuff. Does not work in this The Boss. Going to be one of the worst movies of the year for sure that I will see. So skip it.
All
even
right.
at the drive-in.
All right. Well, you know, I, in my vast experience of movies, bad comedies are the most unendurable.
Yeah, and tough.
Of all the things to sit through.
Yeah.
If it's a, you know, and in fact, when a bad drama is bad, it's funny.
Yeah.
When a bad comedy is it's just horrific.
Right, there's nowhere else for it to go.
No,
it's just bad.
No.
Well, she's almost like Will Ferrell in the sense of when it works, and when it doesn't work, it's terrible. And that's kind of what I get with her.
I feel like Chris Farley that she should be used sparingly. When they started to give Chris Farley like full
the lead,
that didn't work for him.
Well, her breakout was Bridesmaids, where she was the sidekick to Kristen.
The side piece.
It's a big side.
Who's
it's a side of beef?
Whose side
it's
piece?
A side of...
Would that be?
So she, you know, and then the lead. But listen, Spy was Spy. I have to say, you know, Jason Statham's in Spy, and there's a bunch of it's Spy is really an ensemble, even though she is the lead in it. So there is some the other guys, Jude Law's in that, and there are other guys, Carrion Wade, and that made that movie a pretty good. It was actually a pretty effective spy movie on top of being a comedy. You know, it wasn't merely a parody of spy movies. It was actually a spy movie just with fat Melissa McCarthy falling down, you know. So that was pretty good. But, yeah, this one, skip The Boss. I don't care. Because, look, Heather, like, her favorite talk show guest ever is Kristen Bell. Like, Kristen Bell on Ferguson is, like, her fucking
Kristen
favorite.
Bell was fun on Ferguson.
Kristen Bell, the greatest. She loves Game of Thrones. So, Dinklage, that's the best. You can't get any better than Dinklage. And she loves Ms. McCarthy. So, but God damn it, it was awful. By the way, remember how we talked about Ellen on HSN and, you know, Ellen wasn't on there selling her crap. She sent some flunky or Ellen, I think, was on QVC, not HSN. But I'm tuning by HSN the other day. Who do I see, Corey?
Oh, God.
The Melissa McCarthy Collection. Guess who's in the studio selling the Melissa McCarthy collection on the air?
Beanie Feldstein.
No, it was actually Melissa McCarthy, but good guess.
She's too big. She sends Beanie Feldstein.
No, it was actually Melissa hawking her shit. So I actually, believe me, if I had more money, what I wanted to do for a bit was I would buy you and I an outfit from the Melissa McCarthy collection, and I would see how that looked. Would you be willing to do that as a bit? who wore it better, Corey or Joel?
Well, maybe.
We'll fit. I mean, they know the clothes.
Why doesn't she just have a, like, Dress Barn label?
I don't know. She's on HSN. Do you think HSN is any better than Dress Barn or any of those
not
dots
really.
Or one of those fucking things? No.
No, you're just getting the money straight.
It's
you don't
just, there's no middleman, yeah.
No middleman.
No middleman. You give it straight.
The shekels come straight out of the pocket.
Funnel it straight into her wallet.
That's right.
So,
and then she'll funnel Chicago mix popcorn directly into her mouth with a funnel.
That's and I believe Ben Falcone will be holding the wallet open while he fans her and gives her a pedicure or whatever. Ben,
that guy.
Whatever, poor that guy.
Didn't she lose weight?
She lost weight, but she's just, you know.
I saw this bullshit story that was, they were trying to spin this, like, God, the internet's the worst. They're like, well, they canceled Mike and Molly because Melissa McCarthy lost too much weight. Get the hell out of here.
Well, remember that show was like, remember, because I mean, Melissa McCarthy was on Gilmore Girls. Not in a funny role at all, right? She was kind of the straight. She'd get a couple sassy lines, but it wasn't
she
like.
She was the sidekicky friend. But it wasn't like her.
It wasn't her doing her persona.
Wasn't doing wild shtick.
And then when they did Mike and Molly, again, she, what's Billy Gardell got most of the laughs on that show, I think. And then they retooled Mike and Molly. Do you remember that? Not that you remember Big
no,
Mike and Molly.
I've watched.
They rebooted it.
I've watched exactly no.
They rebooted
full
Mike and Molly, where then Melissa McCarthy was doing the shtick. So there's some Mike and Molly where she's not doing the shtick. And then there's later Mike and Molly where she is doing the shtick. And apparently that wasn't enough to save the show.
I mean, she has lost a decent amount of weight.
Well, but she's round and she's short and, you know, she's...
Okay, this is not like an insane weight loss. Like, you know what I mean? She's gone down...
Well, yeah, she probably weighs like 200 pounds now.
All right.
Which she went down, is a lot for a girl, but...
She went down from 300 to 200.
Well,
so it's not,
yeah,
you know
I mean,
mean? It's not like...
She might have not even... She might only been like 280.
All right.
I know we're splitting hairs here, but...
Okay,
all
right. Well, she's not splitting portions of food with anybody. No, it's... She lost a nice amount of weight, but it's not like she got, like, anorexic.
No, she didn't. She still looks like her. She's still tubby enough.
Sarah Rue got so skinny that she killed her brand.
She can't play the fat girl anymore.
Right, but Sarah Rue's brand was I'm the adorable plumper.
Almost perfect.
And then she lost...
Corey's ultimate fantasy. Sarah Rue in her tits.
Look. I got a type, okay?
All right. That is your ultimate...
Busty redheads are my type. That's
Alicia Witt.
There you go.
But here's the thing. Alicia Witt, a little unattainable. Sarah Rue, a little more gettable. That's why I think you liked her so much.
Very gettable. Look, no, but Sarah, I mean, not for me, but... okay, Sarah Rue went like super skinny and blonde at one point, and you're like, you're known
and
as...
We don't know who you are,
but the problem is that people don't... Okay, as much as we love to talk about how America is where you can reinvent yourself...
No.
You can be all bullshit.
Exactly.
Once you're famous for being something... When you change that radically, unless you're Bowie.
Jennifer Grey.
Bowie's, Jennifer Grey killed
exactly.
her career.
All right.
Dead.
I'm going to stop the show for 1 second because I have to give a special message. It's not for everybody. It's for one person. Catherine Hahn, if you're listening, don't get a nose job. For God fucking sakes, Catherine Hahn. And exactly. I saw Catherine Hahn on a show. She was being interviewed on some show and her body looked amazing. And then you just got Catherine Hahn's head, you know?
Well, but...
And you go...
But Catherine Hahn knows that she's a comedic actress.
Right.
And
but
so...
But if Catherine Hahn went out and got a nose job and tried to be prettier facially, it would ruin the whole Catherine Hahn shtick.
By the way, we've talked about this many times. Though. That's another woman, though, that Hollywood will tell you is the ugly one.
No. Catherine Hahn's hot.
Right,
we both
fucked
the shit out of Catherine
Hahn. Right.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, if you and I, if we were like Catherine Hahn came into the restaurant... We were dining at. We turn our heads and go, "Holy shit! Look at that!" But Hollywood will tell you that, like Amy Ryan, these are slag, gutter tripe pieces of shit who can't hold a candle to the real.
I dated a girl that's got some Catherine Hahn.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah,
exactly
yeah. She's some Catherine Hahn in there.
She got Catherine Hahn and a little Melissa McCarthy. Unfortunately,
no.
A little extra pounding.
Catherine Hahn. Well, she's not. She didn't do the Hollywood makeover yet, but if she did, she'd look like Catherine Hahn.
But I'm, you know. Look.
But yeah, Catherine Hahn can't. She's got to keep that puss, you know? She's got to keep that face, or else it's all over. You know what I mean? You can't change it. That's your moneymaker. Don't forget
you
that.
You can't change your Shayna Putnam.
Don't forget it, Catherine
Hahn.
I know. Anyway, so that was the boss. It was a piece of shit.
Why? Did you think she was in danger of.
I just saw her being interviewed the other day, and I went like her body was outstanding, and I went like, oh, Catherine Hahn's hotter than I thought, and then I'm like, but then you got the lid, you know? And then I was like, well, that's fine, though, because that's what makes her interesting as an actress, you know?
She can't get
too pretty. No, it's going to ruin it.
But she knows she's funny.
But if she was too pretty, she wouldn't be like the snarky friend in all the movies. And I think Jennifer Grey kind of had that. She was kind of the bitch. I mean, yeah, I mean, I know she was like the lead in like Dirty Dancing, but when you think about like Ferris Bueller and stuff, she had kind of a great character that she gave away.
Jennifer Grey's acting probably also limited her career.
Oh, okay, all right.
But she was all hot off, she was all hot off Dirty Dancing, and then she went and killed her nose.
Yeah, it's Catherine Hahn. Keep looking the way you're looking. All right, let's do some other. I got a couple. I got one. Well, I watched some stuff on the home videos there on Netflix. We were talking about wrestling. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts is now available on Netflix, which is a documentary about how Jake the Snake Roberts was down on his luck, and he legitimately is when you see the movie. Alcoholic, in a lot of pain from wrestling injuries, well over 300 pounds. And Diamond Dallas Page takes him into his house, and through the power of DDP yoga and living right, Jake the Snake Roberts comes back.
It's so ridiculous that Diamond Dallas Page has a yoga studio.
He's great, though. If you see the movie, he's great, and you see a lot of other wrestlers like Scott Hall, who's a guy that I know. I know Scott Hall fairly well from the Gathering of the Juggalos and stuff. You know, Scott Hall could barely move. He had bad hips. And he had to have like a hip replacement, and then you see him in there, and he quit drinking. And it's very, it's very inspirational. I have to say, it's a good documentary. It's a little weepy, you know. It's maybe a little too intense. It probably needs a little more levity, but it's a solid doc. If you like wrestling, you're going to want to see that. It's cool.
All right,
Dallas Page comes off as a fucking star, man.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's great. So
he's the
you
ace.
See all that, yeah. You see. Page, you see a bunch of old wrestlers in it at one point or another, but yeah, it's really cool. So go see that's on Netflix. So if you got Netflix,
you know what? Not to backtrack, but I pulled up Jennifer Grey's IMDb here.
Okay,
and so Dirty Dancing, massive hit, right?
Sure,
cultural milestone.
What's the follow up?
Not just a hit, but one of those movies where it's like
a touchstone.
Still, people talk about
an all time classic.
Sure, I mean it's a piece of shit movie, but it
an all time classic.
But all the skirts get their They're jolly. Their panties get all sticky from the Dirty Dancing. Do the lift. All right. Her next movie is called Gandahar.
The fuck is that?
You ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. Then she does a movie called Bloodhounds of Broadway, which was a huge
That
flop.
Was with Madonna, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then she did a TV movie called Murder in Mississippi. So she went straight into TV movies. She got momentum off Dirty Dancing. And she was in Ferris Bueller, too.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller.
She got zero momentum off the giant Dirty Dancing hit.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then she must have gotten the nose job sometime in there.
She must have felt like she wasn't getting the role, so let's look better. And then she got the nose job, and then she was gone. She was unrecognizable.
And then she went right into TV movies. I don't know what... That's a real head-scratcher of a career right there. That's anyway.
All right, so Resurrection of Jake St. Roberts, you would like that. And Heather watched that with me, and she liked it. She thought it was very inspirational. So maybe would your lady sit through a wrestling documentary? Even though there's very little wrestling in it, I mean,
she'll watch like 30 for 30s and stuff. So
okay, it's kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
she
that.
She might enjoy
that. Yeah. By the way, the OJ 30 for 30 comes on next week. So
you watching that?
That's like this week.
You know,
next
I already
week?
Watched the whole. People versus OJ.
Well, but it's this one's like it's they're comparing it to the Jinx.
Yeah.
So it's like a multi, hour, 7 hour thing, and it's apparently very good.
While we remember icons like Prince and Muhammad Ali, can black people just say he did it? Can we just come clean?
You know, there's some thought that that I guess they're going to present the murders as an actual mystery. So I think they want to be as fair with it as they can and say, well, this is, a lot of people that think he's innocent overlook the facts, and then people that think he's guilty, don't see. So it's, they're not going in. I think they're trying to make the documentary as if you lived it, if you just saw OJ as a college football star, pro football star, commercial pitchman actor. that you will be surprised when the murders happen, whereas now people just, you know, it is stained.
It's
his,
something that has
people
happened.
Can't remember OJ before the murders, right, sure. But if you live through it like we did,
sure.
We remember when OJ was this American beloved figure.
Which is interesting that Ali only grew in estimation and
yeah.
People loved and revered him.
Sure.
Do you forget, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you forget all the bad things. Sometimes you forget all the good things.
Yeah, yeah.
One little murder.
And that's it.
Two little murders. Excuse me.
Also saw Deadpool on video, which yeah, he's old news now, but that was okay. You know, was what people said about it was true. You know, it was fine. I think it's good that Fox has that because boy, they're dead in the water.
They needed something.
Yeah, it said X-Men was down 35% on the weekend gross.
Tanked.
The new now it still made $100 million or something, but it's like it's
there
not,
has to be a
it's down.
I know we've been talking about this for years.
It's down.
But there's got to be a peak superhero movie limit, right? We've already had three big ones.
Well, Deadpool is
a little
different,
off market,
and that's why
different.
It worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's why Guardians of the Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy didn't even need to be in the Marvel Universe. That would have done
right, sure.
Probably exactly what it did, even not being in the Marvel Universe. So I think being a little outside the box,
Guardians of the Galaxy's ties to the Marvel Universe didn't matter if you
no.
For yeah. Marvel fans,
if you didn't
they
know
cared,
it, yeah.
and if you weren't, it didn't bother you.
And you know, Deadpool has the X-Men tie-ins, but it doesn't
Colossus
really need
is in
them.
There and stuff,
it
yeah.
doesn't really. I mean, the X-Men are talked about in that, but it's not really because I didn't even know what studio made Deadpool until it was over. I was kind of like, mm-hmm. Well, this must be a Fox thing because it's
no, because Fox has the X-Men.
Has the X-Men,
rights, right.
But I was like, well, the X-Men aren't in it, so maybe. Maybe you know Disney did it.
Well,
but
Colossus
you know,
is in it. There you go.
Disney that's probably cool. would not have done a hard R,
no
superhero movie though, and maybe Fox being a little desperate did a hard R movie for that reason.
And now they're putting out an R rated cut of
Batman Superman,
which means
you got to watch that again.
It means more of that movie. I don't know.
Oh, by the way,
because there's like Jenna Malone's in it, and she wasn't in
the movie. Yeah. Here, I'm going to give everybody a tip at home right now. Here's a hot tip. Stop buying Blu-rays.
I know, because 4Ks are
well, what they're moving to is now you can get the 4K version, and it'll come with a regular Blu-ray. So you know how you get like the Blu-ray and the DVD and a lot of, you know. So just don't buy the standard. I mean, I don't know what the pricing is on them, and they might be exorbitantly expensive, but they'll be cheap probably by the end of the year. So I would say if you're looking to get something, to probably hold off on Blu-rays at this point and just get the 4K versions. I don't think every studio is releasing the 4Ks yet. But,
you know what? You know how...
Because you're going to want... The next TV you buy will be a 4K TV.
Well, here's the big...
You'll have to get a 4K player, but, you know...
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Fuck all these people. Look, these formats. Our parents did not follow on the Blu-ray tip for the most part.
No.
My father-in-law just got HD.
Yes.
Like
he got his HD TV finally. You've told us.
No, he's had the HD TV. He finally got
he got the programming.
He got the DirecTV box.
Of course, yes.
With the HD hookup.
And is he completely happy with it now?
Yeah.
Is he like oh,
but
what
I wasn't there when it happened.
Yeah.
So I don't. I wanted to be there when he plugged it in. And I went, look here, Bob.
This is the, yeah.
You know, but.
On the TV end, I don't think broadcast TV is going to be 4K anytime soon with, you know, on the current systems. I think they'll have to come up with something new, like a new faster fiber cable or something to do 4K television.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is 4K streaming, which some people are saying, well, why would you even get a disc format at this point? And just stream. And that, there's something to be said for streaming. But apparently the 4K streaming, because of the compression algorithm to the video, is not as good, anywhere near as good as the 4K Blu-ray. So the 4K Blu-ray is the way to go. And apparently, we'll know more next week because it's E3. But apparently, there's a lot of talk that Sony's PlayStation 4.5 or whatever that's going to come out this fall is going to have a 4K. It's going to have a 4K output, and it'll have a 4K Blu-ray drive, as well the Xbox 1.5, which will come out next year. Okay. And those will both have... So you may ultimately
have new models of
and
the,
they're going to
not
support...
Not full relaunches.
No, what they're going to do is it's going to be like a PC where you're going to have like a fat... Like, you'll get one disc, and if you have the older machine, it will play with like maybe a lower resolution,
and I heard
lower frame rate.
The new Nintendo will have a CD-ROM drive.
The new... Nintendo.
The new Nintendo machine will have a laser disc with, it'll have a dual layer, dual layer, so you don't have to get up and turn the laser disc.
The
over.
New Nintendo is oh God.
I heard it's gonna have an 8-inch.
Well, you can buy
an 8-inch floppy disk.
Well, they're gonna come pre-dusty. So rather than letting it sit there and collect dust, it'll have dust right out of the box. So the machine that you'll never play will come right out of the box. But
my sister-in-law, they have a Wii U for the kids.
Oh God!
Right.
And their kids have carpal tunnel syndrome from the controller.
Well, I played some Mario Kart with them, and it was fun. And I'm like, oh, I'd like to play this new Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But I would feel like an asshole getting a Wii U.
Well, I think the best bet now is if you want
wait them out for the next one?
Is buy the NX when it launches. Now, they're saying the NX is going to be at least as powerful as a PlayStation 4, which means you should get...
But it won't have the 4K player.
Well, it probably won't. They'll still be behind in that way.
Guys, we got a DVD player in this one.
You'll have full HD. I mean, Wii U is HD, but it's very underpowered. It's more like a... it's more like an Xbox 360 than it is an Xbox One or something, but whatever the NX ultimately is, hopefully they will use a more standard controller, and it will have more standard games on it than that. Or you just suck it up and you buy a fucking PlayStation like a man and play those games because those games are good.
Like a man,
instead of trying to go, oh, I gotta play
you like to.
I gotta play the same.
Weren't
Mario
you an Xbox fanboy at one point?
No. Wait.
You have all the systems.
Wait. I don't have Nintendo systems.
Right.
I have the Xbox One and I have the PlayStation 4. And when they put out PlayStation 4.5, I will get that. Will I get Xbox 1.5? I guess I will. But
you're not a Nintendo guy.
Not a Nintendo guy, and I think the Xbox One is underpowered if you want some video game analysis right now. And I think that one, more than anything, needs a reboot because I think they built it to... The PlayStation versions are all better versions of like those third-party games. So, although I do say I like streaming on my Xbox One, I bought this universal remote over here if you want more ways to waste your money. I bought this... I think I paid $24 for this remote here. It's called
That's the PlayStation... Four.
The 4 is vertical there. Yeah, the 4 is vertical there. The 3 is still horizontal next to the Xbox One. And the 4 is just that little black sliver. But this remote is called the Intest, Intest. And this will control your Xbox One with a remote.
Okay.
Which is nice. So I programmed everything to work with this.
Now
I stream all my apps on Xbox.
I don't really mind
One.
Using the controller, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's nice to have, you know, to have the remote. So, and I, you know what I also do a lot of, which if you want to, you know, is a lot of YouTube now. A lot of YouTube on the big TV through
the
Xbox
app. That's what I do on my...
It's great.
I do with my Xbox.
Yeah, it's great. And when you subscribe to stuff, you wake up, you turn it on, and you'll have a bunch of videos to watch from, you know, some of these guys that do these. Is that where you watch Angry Video Game Nerd and all that on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. So, yeah, I like that a lot. So
this exists. Have you watched that channel?
No, I haven't seen
that. That's a very good... It's a guy who does... It's like all just weird corners of like media.
Okay.
But here's an example.
Yeah.
They break down that black metal and surf rock are exactly the same genre.
This exists. I'll write that down.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you one and everyone at home. Techmoan. Techmoan. It's a guy, it's a British guy, and he buys like all kinds of old like stereo equipment and old television equipment and like formats that went under like you've never heard of them. And he buys all these wacky things and he tests them out and it's great. Yeah. Like he got some 8-track players, okay? And he bought a bunch of 8-tracks on eBay. And he says, you know, 8-tracks will not work. There's not a single working 8-track tape anymore because they have a little sponge. When the tape would go in, it would hit the sponge. Remember 8-tracks? Mm-hmm. And all of those sponges have dried out. So you have to actually replace the sponge to get the 8-tracks to work. But he gets them working and it's great. He'll take these old things and gets them to work. And he bought like some reel-to-reel tape players, which actually sound way better than any like analog format, like way better than vinyl. And he bought these like 10.5-inch reels. It's really great. Techmoan.
When I had to go, I had to go find the cable for my Sega Genesis, which I found in the closet.
Yeah.
And I got it to work.
Right.
I found the composite to S-Video cable at a video game store.
Yeah.
But
you called me about that and I was like, I don't know.
Well, I know. Yeah. And, well, you know, and I went to like, I went to, what
is that an aftermarket part or was that something that was like,
it was an aftermarket.
So it wasn't something that was in the box when you bought it.
No,
that.
But I went to like Best Buy and they've cut down way on all their,
yeah,
like,
they don't have as many accessories.
They used to have, it used to be like anything that had stereo equipment would have all these extra,
yeah,
you know, all these extra cables and connections and all this weird stuff. And Micro Center didn't have it.
Yeah.
And then, finally I went to a retro video game store.
Okay. Yeah.
And they have.
Yeah, you can go on. You know, a lot of that stuff is online.
I could have got
too,
it on eBay,
yeah,
but I just was like,
you wanted to buy the right thing, and you had to talk to a guy.
Let me just go get one now.
But watch this guy Tecmoan. There's
but that led me into all these guys that are modding old.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of
for
videos,
HD,
yeah.
And you can put your Genesis on Scrat, which is
SCART, yes,
which is the European system, yes, upgrading HD and all that stuff. So yeah, there's guys kit bashing and building stuff all over the place.
And the Tecmoan guy, he had this great, I forget the name of it. You got to see because this guy's been doing videos for years, but there was a cassette tape, an audio tape, that looked exactly like your cassette, you know, like your old cassettes, but it was the size of a VHS tape.
Okay.
And it was just really crazy. Yeah. He buys one and buys all these tapes, and he finds this, like, new old stock, so everything's still in cellophane, and he opens it up. It's really great. If you see Tecmoan, the guy's amazing. So
speaking of the angry video game nerd,
yeah,
he reviews all the old systems, the Jaguars and all the old Intellivisions, and he did one on all of the Pong consoles.
Okay.
Just because everybody,
there were generic Pongs.
There were
stuff,
Sears
yeah
put out a Pong.
Yeah.
And some of these had crazy, like, they had, you know,
weird paddles. I
weird
had one
paddles
of those,
and joysticks and wheels.
My dad
and,
bought one. My dad, like, worked downtown in the 70s, you know, in for Michigan Bell or whatever. And I think he bought, like, some guy showed up with some. You know, like, some guy was, you know, they would get these off a truck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad brought one home, and it was like we played all these wacky Pong games with these giant controllers that had these like curly Q cables at a time. It was really weird.
Right.
And you'd push a button. There was no cartridges. Like you'd push a button on the front of it. And
much like the Wii,
the
Pong was a universally adapted, like everybody had a Pong system.
Well, they were knockoffs. I mean, the ones that my dad bought, it was like a Chinese thing, and there were dozens of them.
Generic one.
Yeah, there was just a generic chip, and they would put it in these machines, and then guys would build these wacky controllers, and then you'd have a kind of a knockoff Pong for home.
Right.
And it'd be like, you know, like hockey. The difference between hockey and soccer was you could go behind the net in the hockey.
Right,
like the ball could go. And if it was soccer, the net was at the end of the field. But otherwise, they were exactly the same, like the hockey and soccer.
Right.
But it was exciting when the ball went behind the net in hockey. But then soccer was the same. And then you'd have like, you know, volleyball was like you'd have five sticks instead of one or two, and that'd be like volleyball. It was wacky shit. Anyway,
these look like Soviet, like the
they're
the Radio Shack had their own Pong.
Yeah. Well, there's like the Odyssey 2. I think that might have been the one that I had as a kid.
What was the Odyssey had the they had you take a plastic sheet and lay it over. They had screens that you'd lay over.
That was before my time.
To add color.
Yeah, mine hooked up to the TV. Speaking of TV,
no, I mean it was black and white, but you'd put color.
Right.
Over
oh, okay,
this.
Yeah. No, mine was color, and in fact, I remember like you could change. There was a button to change the color, like instead of just white Pongs on a black screen, you could put like yellow Pongs on a green field or something, and that would be like tennis. And then like the hockey was blue because it was ice. All right, let's speak of TV because we're running out of time here. Top Gear is back.
There
which is, I believe, what do they call Top Gear? The most watched show worldwide or the most watched unscripted show or something. But Top Gear is a phenomenon. And, of course, the original guys were let go. Jeremy Clarkson was fired. And, you know, the other guys, Hammond and May, left. And they're going to have their own show on Amazon this fall. But the new one with Chris Evans, who is a disc jockey in England. Not very well known here, but kind it's of a...
Radio 2.
Radio 2, yeah. Like the breakfast
BBC
guys.
2.
Kind of a, I want to say a Seacrest type, but actually kind of funnier than that, or I don't know what the equivalent.
They used to have BBC One and occasionally BBC Two on Sirius.
Yeah, they still do. They don't.
No, they took those off for in favor of the Pitbull channel.
Oh, well, fuck all that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I used to enjoy the like BBC One would do like the countdown,
the top 20 hits.
You do the top 20, and
well, they used to be. It's one of those things though. I think with that though that England and American cultures were very different, even as recently as like 20 years ago. with the internet and stuff, that's there's less of that.
There
now.
Are still some British
one-hit wonders and stuff. There's less of that now. There used to be way more of that. Yeah. But Chris Evans is a guy who was, you know, known as a, you know, an all around, you know, compare host type guy, a radio DJ, and he was, you know, he's a rich guy. He makes a lot of money, so he's known for having expensive cars. So he was pretty easy guy to get to host this. Matt LeBlanc is the other main host. Matt LeBlanc, the guy Joey from Friends, and he was known on Top Gear for having the fastest star in a reasonably priced car lap.
Yes,
was Matt LeBlanc while the other guys did it. And but they came back. They've had two episodes. I've watched about one and a half of them, and I think my review is basically there's a Top Gear formula. Which they do Top Gears all over the world now. There was a Top Gear USA that ran for a few years. And that formula works. You know, it's good photography. It's fast cars. It's cool ideas. And I think that works. Obviously, the guys don't have the personality or the chemistry of the old guys.
Yeah.
And I think there's fans who are more fans of those guys than they are the cars and that kind of stuff. So to them, I think it'll be a disappointment. But otherwise, I was reasonably entertained by Top Gear. It's a step down, but let's give it time.
Put me in Camp 2.
Camp 2,
I'm more of a fan of Clarkson and May and Hammond. That's actually what I enjoyed about the show. Okay. Actually what I always liked on Top Gear? When they'd review horrible cars.
Yeah.
Because I don't get a big boner for, you know.
The new McLaren. That was the second episode.
And the new Lamborghini. Yeah. And all those are all kind of the same thing to me. Like, I don't get, because one, I'm never going to, I'd be fucking lucky. You know, a car from like a year ago would be, you know what I mean? If I could get a
2012 Toyota Corolla would be an upgrade.
Exactly. You know, if I could get a Kia Rio, a 2015 Kia Rio. No, I'm just saying, like.
Corey, let's get you in a Nissan Altima.
Drive a Ford. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not a car.
I'm not either.
In terms of that. Like,
I drive a Honda.
Sometimes it's kind of cool to see the like Bugatti and how fast it is. Yeah. But I'm not a huge car guy. I'm a standard level heterosexual male car guy.
Yes.
In that I like cars okay.
Yeah.
But it's not my, you know what I mean? And I feel like I feel like baby boomers were much more into cars.
Oh, I think that's Top Gear's for older people than us for the most part. But here's what I will say. I think the thing about Top Gear that appeals to me versus other car shows is it's not all about the cars. It's what they do with them. So they do wacky races and stunts, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing that, and I think they are going to drive pieces of shit on this eventually.
Right.
I haven't seen any of that in the first couple episodes.
Well,
but I think
they did drive a piece of shit. Oh, drove that three-wheel Renault.
Oh, yeah, they did drive those Renaults, that broke down and stuff,
You know, and that...
They drove to Blackpool.
Which, by the way, was a horrible segment. Because
no, I agree with you. That wasn't a great segment.
Okay, so you're right. It's the exact same format. It's the same... The music's the same.
Yeah.
The same stupid...
Studio audience is there.
Music.
The Stig is there.
It's the same studio.
Yeah.
Everything. The chairs.
But that's what it is. I mean,
it's the exact same. They didn't do anything but plop new guys into
it. It's more like The Tonight Show. They've changed hosts. It's not the same show. They're doing tweaks. They're doing things differently. But, you know, here's the thing about it.
Now, interestingly...
You would like them to just go, fuck Top Gear, stop making it. You don't realize they make billions of dollars from the show. They're going to continue to make Top Gear. The thing is, have they found the best guys to do it?
I don't think they've done
that. And maybe they haven't. And maybe they haven't. So
okay, I thought Matt LeBlanc was sort of...
He was okay,
affable, but underwhelming.
Yeah, he was okay.
Maybe he was a little restrained.
Yeah.
He kept going, we drove by somewhere named Birmingham.
Yeah.
Like, he kept acting like I'm the Yank that doesn't know anybody, even though he's been doing... episodes in England for a couple of years.
Right, yes.
I kind of liked, actually, you know what I liked about Top Gear? The aggressive Britishness of it.
Yes, yes.
As an Anglophile, I enjoyed that was as British as, you know, a pack of silk cut fags.
and they'd make fun of the French, and they'd make fun of them. You know, whenever Clarkson came to America.
Take his shit on the Belgians randomly.
But you see the one where they go to Florida, and he's just shitting on Florida every second.
Well,
it's amazing.
You know what? Americans do that.
Shit on Florida, too.
And we should.
Yeah. But I thought Top Gear was okay. I mean, again, give it a look. It's on BBC America. You can get it here on Monday nights. I'm sure you can find... The international, you know, it airs on Sunday in England, and I'm sure you can get a torrent or
something.
Now,
Chris Evans took a shellacking on Twitter.
Well.
He's very shouty and sort of
like
this.
Yeah, he's...
Oh! Right.
Well, you know what he is? I figured out what he is. Gilbert and Frank talked about this on, if we can plug Gilbert's amazing, colossal podcast.
Yes, please.
He's kind of a Nance.
Right.
He's kind of a Nance
that,
act.
Orson Bean said
Orson Bean said
That there was what used to be called a Nance comic, which is an effeminate guy.
Fairy, yeah.
Now, before we even accepted that people were gay.
Yes.
There used to be guys that would just be kind of light in the loafers and
Joe Besser, when you see, now he's playing a little kid on like the Abbott and Costello TV show, but Joe Besser would do that.
Right.
I've been
reading that Cliff Nesteroff book.
Yeah.
I actually watched the New Faces of 1937.
Okay.
Which was on TCM, and that had Albert Brooks's dad, Harry Einstein, who was Park Your Carcass.
Okay, yeah.
And his act was just, he was a little bit like Chico Marx.
Was he Indian or something?
No, he was Greek. He was a Jew who did a Greek voice.
Sure, yeah.
And he was a kind of like, oh, what are we going to do about this? It was like a little, you know what I mean? That was his whole act.
It was an ethnic comedy, yeah.
Was doing a little Greek accent.
Yeah.
And then Milton Berle was one of the New Faces of 1937.
Okay.
And then they had this guy, Joe Penner.
Yeah.
And Joe Penner was hideously unfunny. And his catchphrase was, want to buy a duck?
Yeah.
And Joe Penner was kind of like getting slapped around.
Was he a Nance?
Yeah. He was getting, like Albert Brooks's dad would slap him around. And he was like a Nance comic. That was his shtick.
Well, it's kind of what Chris Evans kind of does.
Yeah. So
he comes out in week two on a gurney.
Well, he should be because of the beatings he took on Twitter.
Apparently he banged, what's the girl? Billy Piper.
Oh.
Was his.
All right, good for him. Who was a Doctor Who companion.
Billy Piper. Well, what was it? Confessions of a Call Girl or something? Wasn't that
she
show
did that
on?
Too, as well.
She did naked on that one. That was good. All right, so that's on.
Played Rose Tyler on Doctor Who.
We didn't play this yet. Let's get into the... God, do we even have time for this? I guess we do.
How long have we been doing? Six
months? I want to talk about... Okay, I got two things. I've got America's Got Talent with the six-year-old comedian, which we haven't fucking played.
Oh, for the love
of shit. Which you thought we'd lead with. We should have led with that.
That's an hour segment.
We buried the lead. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Steve, turn it off now.
I don't know. And we've got Maya and Marty on NBC, the NBC variety show.
Oh, my God.
With Martin Short and Maya Rudolph.
Let's power through those.
All right. Let's get to America's Got Talent is back. Howard Stern left. He's been replaced by Simon Cowell, and everything is the same fucking thing. Actually, here's the thing. Here's one thing I noticed. Simon, not as mean as you think. I believe Heidi is using the X most liberally now.
Well, I don't even think
I believe Howard did use the X more than anybody.
I don't think Howard was even mean. Howard was just like, reviewing people legitimately.
But Howard was quick to X these people.
Yes.
Simon is not. And Heidi was the one that was saying no to everybody.
Right.
I mean, Simon didn't like some of these boy band singer guys because that's his, you know, that's his line of work. But anyway, so they trot out the first act, episode one, season premiere, a six-year-old comedian. This kid's name is Nathan Bockstaller, and he's right out of Central Casting. We need a cute kid for a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be this kid, right? That's exactly who this was, if you see him.
Right.
And there's no bullshit. There's no fat on this. It goes right into the act. Are you ready, Corey? Are you ready, America?
Okay.
Hey, you've heard this already. If you haven't heard it at home, you be the judge. Is this funny or not? Six-year-old comedian Nathan Bockstaller.
So, a lot of people around here know me as a pretty friendly and outgoing kid. Some may even say I'm a little too chatty and have this thing called ADHD. If you don't know what that stands for, it's attention deficit hyper. Oh, hey, man! That's a rad cert. Now, folks,
All right, let's just review the first joke. It's the hackiest joke you'll ever hear. It's just such an easy premise.
A
50-year-old
man did
that
joke, I would punch him in the dick.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, that joke works, okay? Like, it works in a sense that it makes sense. It's got the, you know, the setup, the punchline.
Yes.
It's got the left turn that everyone wants.
It has the traditional structure of a joke.
Of a joke, but it's not an original joke. It's not a great joke. It's a pretty poor joke. But he is 6 years old. Did he write the joke? We'll see. Let's move on.
Be only six, but I think I know a thing or two about girls.
Do tell.
An important thing to know about girls is that they say one thing, but always mean another.
That's true.
So
my
bad.
Mom, for instance, she always tells me to call her Mom, and I come find out that's not even her real name. What?
That was the sound.
Well, that's his head as he's doing
that. That was the sound of my head exploding.
Well, that
into
he's
a red
he's
mist.
Doing that, but that's not even like that's like a first grade joke. I mean, I got the kids in first grade, but like that's a joke he actually probably could have written. I don't know. And I think that's all we're gonna hear as far as
standing ovations,
all right?
Orgasmic fits.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a problem I have with America's Got Talent. We'll get back to the kid. Is they chop these auditions up. And I've heard this talked about by somebody who was on the show, and I can't remember where. But, you know, they chop that first audition into just the leanest, best part of the act where, you know, the kid didn't do. I mean, I've timed that a minute and 16 seconds. The kid was clearly on stage for more than a minute and 16 seconds. What else did he do? And it probably sucked. So, I mean.
Meanwhile, the audience is orgiastic. Scary Spice has got three fingers in her pussy right now. She's
Let's hear their critiques.
She's rubbing a golden buzzer.
Maybe somebody dumped on him. Maybe someone voted him down.
Let me go because she likes a belly laugh. Mel.
Oh my God. I don't think I could stop laughing.
Ugh.
Do you realize how funny you are, Nathan?
Stop laughing.
No. She's got that terrible, grimy accent.
Howie.
Where the fuck that is, Midland.
From one comedian to another.
You know, he's flirting right now. You're flirting with
Howie
the ladies?
Mando.
You like the ladies, don't you?
I guess. Hey, it's not me. They started it.
Right.
I'm sure that was an improv.
Yeah. I'm only six. You're supposed to get a girlfriend at like 12 or 15th grade.
Who writes
now
the
it's kids say the darnest
well,
things.
Mom doesn't write them, she types them. I come up with the jokes.
That's amazing.
All right. I like you a lot. I think you're a charmer. You're so funny. You're adorable. And I love that you come up with your own material. That is fantastic at
wow.
6 years old.
Heidi Klum, buying right into the
you were funny the
whole spiel.
I started talking to you.
It's real hard to pull the wool over her eyes.
And I like you, and I think you're a real character. And I
and
think
it was tough guy Simon.
Fall in love with you. I've got a feeling about that.
Thank you.
Meanwhile,
and now we have to vote to see if you're one step closer to your box of Lego, which we agreed on, by the way.
Meanwhile, Steve Iyad is playing to 23 people on a
one
Thursday
step
night.
Closer to a million Legos, it's a yes.
He stopped listening. We're 3 hours in.
One down.
How long is the show?
Yeah, we're almost to 2 hours. We're going to wrap it up soon. But yeah. But yeah, the kid got four yeses.
Yes.
And four.
Well, okay.
Okay, Nathan, you've got three yeses, and now you have four yeses.
All right, enough of that.
All right, one, that show is okay. That show is horrific.
It is.
I hate every element. Okay, I watched it when Howard was on because of Howard. Sometimes. I didn't watch it every episode. I like sometimes the wacky acts that are on
right,
there.
Yeah.
So, but every element of the production,
yes,
I despise.
It's manipulative and it's...
The music
it's,
is
yeah,
crap.
It's,
Nick Cannon's doing his stupid yeah, shuck and jive.
Right.
And he, you know, and I hate the judges.
It's well,
okay. I like Howie Mandel.
I mean, it's the most. I think it's the most palatable of the judged.
That's
competition.
True. It's better than Idol.
Well, it's better than. I'm sure it's better than. So you think you can dance and this
yeah,
kind of shit? I, you know, that you see. So I mean, in that respect, I guess it's. It is the variety show that America actually lacks now, even though we're going to talk about a variety
no,
show.
No, they have. This is it.
I know, but it is more like the old-timey guy spinning plates.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a bear jumping through hoops and riding
well,
a bicycle.
Well, this format, you know.
And that's fine, and I think I enjoy that. I enjoy magicians
right,
and weird acts.
There's nothing
and stuff,
ever new,
and,
okay? Arthur Godfrey yeah, was doing this on radio, you know? So that talent show format.
But again, I've said, you know, if they just put these acts on, I would watch without the judging, without the competition. But meanwhile, they won't do that because that's what America demands. That's why Last Comic Standing exists. You know, why not just put those guys on TV and let them touch? No. That's not entertaining enough.
Right.
You need that hook, man. You need that competition.
We got to make it a stunt spectacular.
Okay.
I'm not mad at the kid.
No.
People thought when I reacted to this, people were like, "Well, you're being mean to the kid." I'm like, "No, I'm not being mean to the kid. I'm not mad at the kid. I'm mad at the parents that put this kid up there. I'm mad at the producers of the television program that put this kid out there. I'm mad at these stupid goddamned audiences who think this is funny."
Yeah, yeah.
It won as a comedian. That is like blackface. That's offensive.
Well, yeah.
To a comedian. To a guy who spent 20 years.
To someone who writes their own acts and struggles.
Do you know how many miles Steve Iott puts on a year driving to these towns?
I'm sure, yeah.
Not to keep naming him, but, you know, Bill Bouchard, any of our friends that are out there busting their hump on the road, doing these shitty little podunk pawpaw little towns that are busting their hump without notoriety and fame. This is offensive.
Yeah, it's not.
This is making it look like what we do is easy.
Yeah.
And I know you're like, "But it's comedy. Why should we joke about it? Isn't it a joke? It's comedy." Bull fucking shit. Go do comedy and tell me how.
The problem
how easy
is this kid isn't going to have. I mean, he did two jokes. He's not. It's not an act, and he's going to come back, and he's not going to have an act, and they can edit that one too. But eventually, he's going to have to go live on that show, and it's going to. The kid's going to start crying when everyone's going to eventually say no to him. And it's just exploiting him. It's exploitive. It's not somebody. I mean, America's Got Talent should be for people who actually have an act and are performers.
Well, I'm also...
I mean, the people that come in off the street can be funny and whatever, but, you know, it's not, you know, let's not. The problem with that show is they're pretending that this is a real thing. Like, this is potentially an act that you would buy a ticket to see, and that's not the case.
No, it's a TV stunt.
Yeah.
It's a TV stunt.
It's unlike, a stunt.
Yeah, even less than a lot of the acts that are on that stage.
Right.
The premises were supposed to be
looking
for an act that'll get a show in Vegas.
Right.
No one's going to watch a six-year-old kid tell knock-knock jokes.
I mean, a chimp can roller skate, but that doesn't make it, you know.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? You can't... It's just.
What do you call a well dressed alligator?
What do you call a well dressed alligator?
An investigator.
Hey-o!
Thank you. See what I'm saying? Like, there's a kid joke. Do those. Like, I just hate
it. What's black and white and red all over?
Yeah.
A newspaper.
There you go.
What's black and white and red all over? An embarrassed zebra.
There you go.
There's another one for
What's brown and sticky?
What's brown and sticky?
A stick.
Hey-o.
Look, I'm just saying, like, we could do these kid jokes all day. We should maybe just do, you know, we'll just do next time, we'll just do 45 minutes of kid jokes. I'm just saying, I hate everything about this. I hate the little big shots with Steve Harvey.
Oh, well, let's talk about Maya and Marty, because...
I just, this whole mentality, now they're doing Chopped with kids.
Yeah, the too many
kids. I don't want to watch kids cooking. I don't want to kids. I want children to be fucking children.
Yeah.
They might, okay, personal lives, our friends' kids and our niece and nephew and family... I can enjoy kids,
but
I don't want them on television.
Let me ask you this, because I agree. Shame on America's Got Talent, those producers and those people for exploiting this kid. If it was this kid or a six-year-old who could sing opera or tap dance, would that be better in some way?
Not
would
really.
It not... Yeah, but it...
Okay, this is completely like a stunt. This is like a dog act. Making a kid, a kid memorized jokes. He did not deliver them... Right. With great panache.
No.
Or comic timing.
Not at all.
Or he
put seem to understand what ADHD
means. No, he doesn't understand the words behind
these
jokes. Yeah. He's just memorized a shtick.
Yes.
That some stupid stage mother and father put him up to.
Yes.
Okay? That's garbage. That's hot garbage.
Yes.
The opera does involve a certain level of dexterity and skill.
Yes.
That,
but it's also something that's maybe more appropriate for a kid to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you dress up like, you know, when you do like the, what was the JonBenet Ramsey, like the kid pageants. It's almost like a kid, a young male doing stand-up comedy is almost like a young girl doing like a stripper show.
Well,
doing like burlesque, which is what, you know, and that's gross.
I think you shouldn't do comedy until you're over 18.
Yes.
And I know you'll be like, well, Chris Rock was doing it when he was 17, and Eddie Murphy. Well,
Gilbert Gottfried was 15.
I know, but they weren't famous until they were 25. Yeah. You know, because comedy is about context, too.
Yeah.
And comedy is also for adults.
Exactly.
It's not for kids.
Right. He's not going to go, and you don't want a little kid having to perform for adults, because that's wrong. You know what I mean? You can't make a kid jump through hoops for a kid. If it's a kid playing to kids, then at least there's some.
And you know,
but
what?
No kid can understand.
You've got
his
nothing
jokes.
To talk about
yeah.
as a kid yeah. to relate to an adult audience. Yeah. Stop it! Stop yeah. it!
All right, Maya and Marty was on NBC. Yeah. This was actually the show that followed America's Got Talent last uh-huh. week. It is designed. You described it to me as, you know, Maya Rudolph and Martin Short doing a variety show, which I picture Sonny and Cher or the mm-hmm. Osmonds, where there'd be a lot of singing. Turns out that this show, I'm going to give you the genre that the show was in, SNL.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what the show was. The show was basically SNL.
You know what these are? All the sketches that got cut
it
from
seems
the SNL
like
dress
it.
Rehearsal.
Lorne Michaels produced it. I'm guessing this is like Lorne Michaels on summer vacation, right?
You know,
doing
yeah,
it in
yeah,
LA.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly
At
what
At last,
is.
It's our opportunity to watch Kenan Thompson in primetime.
Yeah, I know. It really is just SNL with, you know, those two. And, I mean, I guess based on one show that the musical acts are going to do like covers, which yeah. is sort of a staple of like 70s variety shows where they're not, because like Miley Cyrus did
mm-hmm.
a couple of covers instead of, you know, she did like old standards
they're
or whatever.
They're not doing the new, right.
They're not maybe going to do their hits. They're going to do more musical numbers, and that Martin Short and Maya Rudolph will join them. So I was down on the show initially, and then when I saw that, it was more disappointing. Although I have to say, like the Tom Hanks sketch that opened the show
was
pretty good.
Yeah.
It was funny. Kenan Thompson did Little Big Shots as Steve Harvey, and I thought
that was
funny. Donald Trump's wife thing wasn't funny, I didn't think.
I personally like Jiminy Glick.
Yeah.
I am entertained by Jiminy,
yeah.
the Jiminy
right,
Glick
right,
character.
Yeah, yeah.
I know some people hate it, but yeah. I do always, and he did a little thing with Larry David, and
yeah.
that was funny.
Yeah, it was okay.
Like Jiminy Glick. I'll watch him do that. I like Martin Short.
Right.
I wanted more Martin Short doing stuff.
Well, he didn't seem to do quite as much on this as
no,
my
he
Rudolph
did the
seemed
Glick
to do the heavy
bit
lifting.
And then she did
so I thought it was like this was a decent episode of SNL. That's really all it was.
It was better than some SNLs, that's for sure.
Well, the fact that it was they could have taped this over 3 weeks might have made it better. But yeah, I mean it's okay. They're gonna make more of these, so I'm not. If you like SNL, I mean Maya Rudolph personally, even though I think she's very talented. I have always had a problem with Maya Rudolph because she's kind of known for singing, and it's like you're a comedian on a comedy show, and you're like known for singing. That's like not, you know what I mean? It's like it's not really, you know.
Well, that she came out and did the bit with Miley,
and she comes out and sings.
And you know,
every
I gotta
minute.
Say, honestly, I actually kind of enjoyed Miley's performance.
She was fine. Yeah, it was okay. I
which
mean,
I'm
was,
weird.
It was
which is weird for me to.
That
say.
Was the part of the show where it felt like they were trying to do that campy
70s
kind
thing.
Of 70s performance, which worked, and she did a good job with it. But I do feel like Maya Rudolph is sort of like, you just see her and you know she's going to sing. Like, that's all she does now. Like, she really doesn't, you know. When she did Trump's Wife, it was terrible. It was not funny at all. And she was funny in the Tom Hanks thing where he's an astronaut. I actually recommend you see that, even if you don't want to watch the whole show.
I think they should do a show with everybody who got fired from SNL. Like Michaela Watkins and, like, just all the... All you know what I mean? All the former, all the Abby Elliott, just get all the fired people from SNL and Jenny Slate.
Where's Abby Elliott?
I don't know where Abby Elliott is.
She should get over here.
That's another.
She came to the Jewel Radio
you know,
studio.
The only
baby.
Problem with Abby Elliott is that she came out of Chris Elliott's dick.
Yeah, well,
and I sometimes think that. And I go,
Chris Elliott's funny though.
Yeah, no, he is.
Well, you'd like to have Chris Elliott as your like step.
Father, yeah,
father-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, that was wasn't that How I Met Your Mother? He was wasn't he Allison Hannigan's dad?
Okay.
On that, so. But yeah, Maya and Marty, I wanted to hate it. I kind of hate-watched it and then thought it was actually not that bad.
Well,
you know
why?
It's pretty patchy. It's patchy. It's like SNL.
It's very patchy, but you know what? Martin Short's funny.
Short's funny.
He's always good. And
you know,
Maya's
Tom Hanks
not
was,
bad.
Without Tom Hanks, that show's a way notch down, so I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Fallon shows up and stinks to join up, but that sketch was bad already without Fallon, so. I don't know how much you're going to see him. But I get the feeling you're going to see all... You had Kate McKinnon on this, Kenan Thompson. I get the feeling you're going to see all the SNL guys on there.
How long... I can't believe Sandberg wasn't on to plug his new movie.
Well, I don't know how much of that you're going to see. You haven't watched any of those Netflix original...
Wait, is that on this week?
Oh, you think about Sandberg. No, I think it was Sandler.
Sandberg.
No, Sandberg's movie... Give me the grosses on Popstar Don't Stop Poppin', by the way. Let's get out of here on a laugh. $76. That's my prediction. If that movie made more than 3 cents at the box office, By the way, can we end summer movies? Let's end them. Let's get rid of them.
I mean, they're horrible, aren't they?
It's so bad.
I mean,
you know, you remember a kid when like Gremlins and Ghostbusters opened on the same day. And now it's like, God, it's just shit.
I had to remember the full title of Pop Star Never Stopping.
Never. Isn't it Never Stop Popping?
You know.
Pop.
I guess. Let's see. Let's see what the Box Office Mojo is.
America's waiting on this.
I know. They're all waiting.
What kind of browser are you running? What are you?
It's $5 million so far.
Oh, and it's been but it opened last weekend, right?
Yeah.
But that's a weekend gross, right? That's not like a, I mean, it's Tuesday. It's not a fucking one day gross.
It was released, domestic totals as of June 6th, release date June 3rd. It's only been out 3 days.
For $5 million in 3 days?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible. That's a giant fucking bomb. That's ridiculous.
Well, how many screens is this fucking
thing? Corey, you know, the fucking, they spent $5 million making the movie posters for that. I mean, that thing is making no money. Good for him. He's a hump, that fucking Sandberg.
It's in 2,000 theaters.
So it's that's pretty good. It's a lot.
I thought it was going to be in like 180.
No,
theaters.
It's a lot of that. Corey, $5 million. Do the math on 2,000 theaters.
Yeah,
what $5 million
the
is.
The per screen average isn't
oh
great.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
No, that's tanking.
Oh, it's great. Good for him. But yeah, I think you'll see all those SNL people eventually on Maya and Marty and whatever.
It's ranks 57th on the worst openings adjusted.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that per screen average is low. Low.
Although I did hear the song Mona Lisa was on the Sirius charts.
Oh, he does a song in it?
Yeah, one of the songs from the movie.
And it's like a legit, it's like a Lonely Island song or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of Lonely Island songs.
Yeah, but that's who it is, right? It's the Lonely Island guys.
Yeah.
It's the Lonely Island movie. Why didn't they just call it the Lonely Island movie you've been waiting for, Corey?
Maybe
they would have been sued for false advertising because no one's waiting for a Lonely Island movie.
Nobody wants that.
Stop. God. Speaking of stopping, we should stop. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Joel Radio, thanks you.
The less I have to think about Andy Samberg.
We love you.
I really. You know, people want more Jorma Taccone. That's what they really are looking for.
He was good on Girls for like an episode. Then they brought him back and he stunk the joint up
the rest of the time.
He really did. Jesus Christ.
Despite rave reviews from critics. All right. Let me see
give me some Warcraft numbers. Give me all the what was the boss on Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic. Give me some bad movies.
All right.
What are the duds of the summer on
all right. I'm going to go to the
I'm going
to
do my own search.
All right. I'm doing the tomato meter. You want to do Metacritic?
I'll do Metacritic.
But that's bad numbers. Rave reviews from critics on Popstar.
What?
Oh, Now You See Me Too. Did you ask for that?
I saw.
Were you the guy?
I saw Now You See Me, and it was very mediocre. So
all right, here's your box office. Here's the critics. The tomato meter.
Okay.
A lot of greens on this here.
Okay.
Now You See Me Too is a 42%.
I don't know if I have that on my
Warcraft is at 18%.
Yeah, that's bad.
Alice Through the Looking Glass, 29%. The Angry Birds movie, 43%.
Do you have a pop star?
Let's see what pop star is here.
Never stop popping. I thought it was Never Stop Popping. It's a better name.
Never Stop Popping.
I'm popping.
Oh, I'm sorry. Warcraft went down to 16 in the time I took to refresh the page there.
Because I have Metacritic on Popstar at 69.
Yeah. Wow,
which is kind of good. It's green. Okay, I have Alice Through the Looking Glass at 34.
Yeah, not good.
The Darkness, which I think is Kevin Bacon's horror movie, is 27.
Popstar is a 76.
Wow, okay.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Jeez.
Certified
maybe
fresh.
The audience
score is 77.
Okay.
So so normally when you see these flops, what'll happen is either the critics completely hated it.
Yeah.
Or the audience, the critics liked it and the audience didn't.
Yeah.
That's interesting to see them be meshed.
Yeah, it's weird that Yeah, The Huntsman 35 that came out in April. I don't have a Metacritic. There may not be enough reviews of Warcraft yet to
Right. They probably That's one of those ones where they kind of try to sneak it out.
Oh, no, the Metacritic is 31 right now, which is bad. So,
The review I read of Warcraft was horrific.
Give me the boss.
Give you the boss. What, the tomato
meter? The boss tomato meter. Because I have the Metacritic is 40. Who gave that a positive review?
I don't know. I think I
have two reviewers. Five positive reviews, 19 mixed, and 14 negative.
Too many windows open here. I got to hold on.
The Verge and the Boston Globe gave it positive reviews of the boss. Again, I'm telling you, I took a girl who loves Melissa McCarthy, loves Peter Dinklage, and loves Kristen Bell, and hated this. So
what week did the boss come out?
The boss came out April 8th. So it's been, you know, sometimes when you get the second movie at the drive-in, it's going to be out for a while. So.
All right, it has made $62 million on a budget of $29.
So the fucking boss made money after
boss
all that.
Boss has been profitable.
God damn it! Fuck!
That's how I feel about the kid comedian. Honestly, I don't know who I don't know who I'm going to kick in the balls harder. Trump guys?
Yeah.
Or the kid comedian? Who's a bigger dickhead?
Well, we're going to be dickheads if we keep
people
any longer.
The boss is a 20% rating.
Yes, the boss is not good, but it's a... All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Summer movies. Will we have seen Ghostbusters by then? Maybe we will.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe we should go together in Ghostbusters.
Hold hands.
Hold hands.
While we watch Leslie Jones get a television.
Let's put some fresh tampons in and go see Ghostbusters, Corey. We'll catch you next time. It's Joel Radio. Thanks for listening. Catch us on Google Play Music. Stream it to your Bluetooth speaker, everybody. You'll love it. Trust me.
Catch me on the Activision Telstar 1 Palm system.
I'll be in my E3 bunker next week, so look for me there. I'll be there for 3 days. Corey hates that. Corey hates when I start...
Don't get
E3
me started.
Stuff.
Now, you just opened...
No, you can't even.
This asshole.
You've got till this song ends.
I have to watch the...
Yeah, I do.
I have to watch the Ubisoft press conference live.
I do.
I
have to watch it live.
This is nothing a wife wouldn't cure. Jesus Christ.
Well, send one over.
I must see the Microsoft press conference as it happens. Because Twitter will spoil it for me. You know, that might be up there with cheese pizza and the most annoying things you do. Holy shit.
You know what? I'm gonna sit down. I'm going to stream the PlayStation press conference while eating a cheese pizza.
Oh, my God.
And listening to Bruce Springsteen bootlegs and whatever everything else that you hate. I will do all of that without you. That's what I'll do.
Okay. Yeah, triple down.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Get out. Let's go. Good night. See ya. You really got to go.